I also have the letter of appointment of Mr. Ndima as acting DG because the DG is in Paris. He's chairperson of some heritage council fund, chairperson of the fund. I hope he will come back with the fund. You can't say and come back home empty-handed. You'll have to bring something for South Africa.
Not a woman.
But we must get a push. If he's sharing there, then you must get a push. Let us get started with the business of the day. I haven't received any other apology other than this. Honorable Mamboro, there's an apology for Honorable Mamboro. Honorable Ngwenya has had an apology for a long time. I don't know whether it's matters pertaining to her health, but for quite some time he has not been able to pitch to the committee. Nonetheless, we've got members who are going to continue working. The DG, or acting DG and minister, the purpose of our engagement today is to look at your APP, how we've been doing that. We have set the target for yourself based on the budget that has been appropriated for the department. You've got programs that you have set. I mean that you are a part of your APP, and these programs are going to be looking into certain specific issues that you prioritize as a department. Such issues as nation building and social cohesion. That's your commandate, to build the nation and to ensure that there is social cohesion. Such issues as the issue of the development of the infrastructure for the heritage route, including the National Heroes Acre project. You also have set a priority whereby I'm going to be promoting the use of languages, and also particularly the indigenous languages. The use of our own indigenous languages is not given the priority that needs to be given. Ensuring that the Mzansi Golden Economy benefits the previously disadvantaged. To what extent have you been able to help those that have been disadvantaged in the past in terms of benefiting from Mzansi Golden Economy? We remember that there were issues, there were complaints about the people not being able to equally access the fund. The issue of the libraries. We've been to some of the provinces, we've been to the Northern Cape, we've been to Limpopo, but what we did pick up is that the content, the books that are delivered to libraries in the main are not in the language of the people of the area. They are usually either in English and other languages, but very few books would be in the language of that is spoken by the people in this specific area. Maybe it's an issue that we need to look into. Also, the use of the computer rooms there, you'll find that we've got very few computers in the libraries, and lessons in computer usage also are not that intensive to help the public. Other issue, or the issue of the artists that are in school, maybe will give us courage also on that one. That's what progress are we making with respect to those artists that you have posted to schools, and what is the arrangement between the Department of Education and yourselves insofar as the remuneration of those artists are concerned. Other issues that I wanted to add over and above, maybe that will clarify there's been an ongoing complaint, Deputy Minister, that our artists, particularly in South Africa, are exploited. And there is no piece of legislation that seeks to protect them from exploitation. And one would like to know, how are you looking into that? How are you going to be assisting also in that regard? The issue of the museum for Madikizela Mandela in the first place, which we spoke about, I was sitting on this chair, I actually said that Umam Wini is now old. You are going to end up with the egg on our face if you don't take that seriously and ensure that while she's still alive, that museum is completed. But unfortunately, events overtook us, and I felt very bad as I was sitting in watching. We could have corrected that if there was cooperation between the Department of Arts and Culture in the Free State and the National Department. We could have avoided that. But because there was no cooperation, then we ended up with that kind of embarrassing situation. How are we then correcting that and moving forward to ensure that at least we finish off? And those are the issues in the main, Honorable Deputy Minister and Acting DG, that I wished to raise, so that as you do your presentation, you give clarity to those issues. I will then hand over to the Honorable Deputy Minister to give us the vision of the department with regard to the APP as opening remarks. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to members of Parliament. Chairperson, can I just request that the issues that you have just raised, we deal with them after our presentation, when we deal with questions and everything, then we'll start with addressing or giving a progress report on issues that you have raised. And also maybe indicate also that Mr. Mabaso is not well. He will be with us until 11:30, and then he will be leaving to see a doctor. I'm happy that you receive an apology from the minister and our DG. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and members of honourable members of the Finance Committee. Maybe we should start by asking my team to introduce themselves, as they are being led by the acting DG, Babundima. Starting from Babundima downwards, they can just quickly introduce themselves to members of the Select Committee. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members of the committee, Deputy Minister, my name is Busitemba Ndima. I'm the Acting Director General of the Department of Arts and Culture today. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. DM, I'm Kelebogile Sithibelo, the Deputy Director General of Institutional Governance, the Department of Arts and Culture.
Dumelang, Kalibizo, ke Matilda Mogotsi, and I'm the DDT Corporate Service.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my name is Charles Mabaso, Team DDT Culture.
Morning, Honorable Members, my name is Makoto Masala, CFO for Arts and Culture.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Nomsa Hani. I'm the Head of Office and PRO for the Deputy Minister of Arts and Culture. Thank you.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Lula Mandabangulu, the Head of Office in the Office of the DG.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Mabetha Ralibi in the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister. My name is Sakiwo Kiso. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Strategy and Planning, Monitoring, Evaluation and Entities Management in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister. My name is Simeon Kanunu from the Office of the Minister, PLO. Thank you.
Honorable DM, I took it that we already know one another, but if they are new employees, then they would have to introduce ourselves as well. None. Okay. Okay, then, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I make sure that each and every one of them is here so that they can respond to their bad or good performance that members of Parliament would like to find out from them. Chair, as we are all aware that the year 2018 marks the following important events, celebrations and or commemorations. Firstly, the centenary of the birth of Dada Nelson Mandela and Mama Albertina Sisulu. Secondly, South Africa will be hosting the BRICS Summit, preceded by the BRICS Film Festival in July this year, that is 2018. The Africa Month celebrations are currently underway, with May 25th designated as the Africa Day. Most of our programs in the department will thus be foregrounded on these important milestones or events in the 2018-19 financial year. But before we take you through our detailed program of action for 2018-19, allow me, Chair, to provide the committee with a brief overview of our performance in the previous financial year 2017-18. Notwithstanding, we do concern ourselves to those areas where the department did not achieve or did not do well. Just to mention a few, development and review of political and legislation. The department could not finalize the review of the white paper on arts and culture as envisaged. This is attributed to the prolonged consultative process on the socio-economic impact assessment, which are now a prerequisite requirement for any policies or legislation is passed. Now that we have passed these hurdles, we are left with the two hurdles, that is presentation of the draft revised the white paper to the clusters and the tabling of the white paper in the cabinet. Further, the socio-economic impact assessment was completed for the underwater cultural heritage policy, whereas little progress was made on the review of the national policy on the digitization of heritage resources. The department will ensure that all efforts are made to finalize the aforementioned policies for 2018-19. One of the areas we intend to correct in 2018-19 financial year is under expenditure of our budget. An under expenditure of about 235 million, which is equivalent to 5%, is too huge for a sector with so many demands and expectations. The major contributor to the under expenditure is infrastructure project, which are stalled by our implementation agent or service providers and or lack of capacity. The following infrastructure initiatives and targets were thus affected as a result. The development of the user asset management plan, that is the UAMP, could not be finalized due to non-performance of the appointed service provider. Their contract was terminated by the department as such, and this impacted on the achievement of the target. Secondly, funds could not be transferred for the refurbishment of community art centers due to non-compliance by selected implementing partners. I have requested the department that just for the information to members of parliament, they need to tell us who are those service providers that they use who did not comply. Sorry. Only 7 of the envisaged 20 public art projects were supported in the 2017-18 financial year due to non-compliance and delays in the adjudication process. The transformation agenda of government envisaged a scenario where equity is provided to both males and females in the workspace or in the workplace. Thus, the government-wide targeted of 50% women representation at SMS level. We have fell short of this target in 2017-18 due to resignations of 2 women at SMS level, and every effort will be made to fill the vacancies created by women. I did indicate to the DDG responsible for filling of those vacancies that they must make sure that they get women to fill those vacancies that have been left by women. The capacity building program of the department includes provision of bursaries and the rollout of a plethora of training programs for the sector. The department did not achieve its bursary program of providing 65 bursaries in 2017-18. Only 61 bursaries could be awarded due to non-compliance by some universities with the requirements of the bursary program, thus delaying the transfer of funds to the four outstanding recipients. As the custodians of the national memory, the department is tasked with providing leadership in the record management space. A critical element of records management is a properly developed and maintained file plan. The department provides support nationally on the documentation of file plans to ensure that they meet the prescribed standards. However, due to the resignation at the archives, thus capacity constraints, the file plans received in the 2017-18 financial year could not be all finalized, and that is viewed and approved. Furthermore, the training of archivists could not be finalized in the past financial year and has been rolled over to the 2018 financial year. I think here DDG Kilebogile Sithibelo will have to explain why we could not achieve this one, that is the training of archivists. The department will be pursuing the following ministerial identified priorities, that is 2018-19 financial year, to ensure that the department improves on its mandate: nation building and social cohesion and dealing with the challenges, which includes racism, xenophobia, racial intolerance, hate speech, and others. Chairperson, the department officials will go further into details about the 10-point plans, that is the priority of the minister, which we are referring to as Umkhombandlela. Therefore, we recently, I think 3 weeks ago, we had a workshop where we invited all the entities that account for the department, that is to give us a progress with regard to their performance for the past financial year. Therefore, Mr. Ndima and the team will then respond to some of the issues that I raised here with them. I don't want to give responses that they gave to me. I'll give it to them to respond to the portfolio committee. I thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Over to you, Mr. Ndima, and maybe you'll also explain why did you cut your targets by half? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, as well as the Deputy Minister and colleagues. I would propose that, Chairperson, I just run through the presentation because some of the answers could be found in the presentation. So this is a presentation outline. I'm not going to spend time on it, but just to say that our mandate, of course, is based on the Constitution, which then...
Let me restrict you to some time allocation.
Okay.
We are now at 10:22. You should be through by 11:22.
10 is an hour.
Yes, or less, if you can.
Okay, I'll try. Thank you. I'll try to use less time.
Okay.
I was just indicating that when we draw our mandate from the Constitution, which of course talks about the freedom of expression, artistic creativity, also freedom to receive or impart information or ideas, or academic freedom, but also issues of language and culture with regards to multilingualism, access to information, equality as an egalitarian society, human dignity. Those are the things that we try to do within our space, or we create that enabling environment for artists or whoever is in our space to do all these things. And of course, we draw also our mandate from the National Development Plan, more particularly Vision 2030, which envisages a much more cohesive society. It begins to say in 2030, the social landscape of South Africa would have changed in such a way that South Africans would be more conscious of the things that they have in common than their differences. As you know, that we are coming from a very fragmented past. their lived experiences will progressively undermine and cut across the divisions of race, gender, disability, space, and class. Also, people are going to embrace multiple identities, that we are diverse people, but united. Also, the broad-based knowledge about this and support for a set of values shared by all South Africans, more particularly guided by the Constitution, an inclusive society and economy, which will ensure that there is a reduction of socio-economic inequalities, also in interaction between different or among various social and racial groupings in our society, strong leadership, but also achieving a social compact that will lay the basis for equity, inclusivity, and prosperity for all the people of South Africa. Then looking at the goals and indicators. Now, looking at knowledge and the Constitution, knowledge of the Constitution and fostering constitutional values. What are the activities that are expected there? There's an expectation that the schools should be able to recite the preamble of the Constitution, the school assembles, the flying of the flag, also ensuring that there are booklets and postcards on national symbols so that people understand the meanings of those symbols, but also the hosting of national days. Then looking at equalizing opportunities, promoting inclusion and redress, how are we going to achieve that? What activities will be required of us? Is to ensure that we have community conversation on social cohesion and nation building, report backs after those community conversations, but also a very comprehensive program on social cohesion advocates, who are the champions and people who are leading the program of social cohesion. Number of artists placed in schools, even also heritage infrastructure in rural areas, sourcing enterprise and the Art Bank of South Africa, the establishment of that, as well as the establishment of the cultural observatory. Already we do have work that is moving towards that direction. But also, we can't leave out the issues of libraries as part of creating the culture of reading and writing, but also community art centers in order to ensure that the youth has got spaces where they can practice arts, culture, and heritage. And of course, the refurbishment of the existing infrastructure on those, building new infrastructure on resistance and liberation heritage route, and also doing some documentaries that are about the liberation heroes and heroines, and also ensuring that the issues of languages are at the top of our priorities, like the approval of the South African Language Practitioners Council Bill. Now, a number of African languages included in official correspondence, depending on provinces, because provinces also, they would prefer certain languages over others, given the nature of the population distribution within those provinces. Then, in terms of promoting active citizenry and broad-based leadership, also it's the same with the community conversation and social cohesion programs, achieving a social compact that will lay the basis for equity, inclusion, and prosperity for all. Here, Chairperson and other members, we have to play a facilitating role because, as you can see, the whole concept of social compact is a very big concept to be driven only by government. You also want the private sector to come to the party. You also want non-governmental organizations to come to the party. You want the society itself to come to the party so that then you can have that social compact. These are the outcomes that we contribute in. I wouldn't want to spend time here. They are just stated. The legislative framework that is here, we are just showing the kind of legislation that in one way or the other we find ourselves having to look at, or some of them is the legislation that we implement. And then here it's the mandate of the DAC, which I actually alluded to, that our role is to create an enabling environment for arts and culture to thrive. But of course, based on specific pillars, language development and promotion, access to information, where you talk about archives, records and libraries, nation building and social cohesion, heritage promotion and preservation, arts and culture promotion and development. But of course, they are enablers, for those pillars to be strong and to be potent. Governance, is one of the things that need to be taken cognizance of. Human capital development, which is about people, infrastructure, partnerships, and funding. And then this is just a generic value chain which has actually been adopted by the UNESCO Cultural Development Cycle, which then begins to say, what's the value chain within the sector, from creation, production, dissemination, transmission, to consumption. And also, each stage of the value chain should have the following. The governance is very important. Proper investment, funding, collaborations and partnerships, human capital development, people who have got the wherewithal to do the work, and of course, appropriate infrastructure. Now, this is a SWOT analysis that has been done by the department. I think the Deputy Minister has actually spoken about the infrastructure management in the department and the current challenges that we are confronted with. And you can see as part of the intervention, Honorable Chair, is the setting up of the project management office for all the infrastructure projects in the department as a way of ensuring that going forward we mitigate the risk of actually underspending. The management of entities, I'm sure that honorable members you've seen and you have in newspapers where some of our institutions just come out not in a positive way. And it then puts responsibilities upon our shoulders to see to it that we assist in the governance of institutions. In fact, one of the interventions that have been put forward is that senior management should at least a seat in those entities. It's just not as people who are taking decisions, but just as observers, so that they can actually be able to identify problems at a very early stage. And if interventions are required, then those interventions are done. And then contract management, that's one of the key issues, Chairperson, because even if you were to look at the infrastructure development, at the core of the problem is actually the question of contract management, which comes with monitoring and evaluation. So we are strengthening that particular area. Monitoring the expenditure, I think also that has been covered here in terms of how we're going to be dealing with this matter going forward, where there's going to be a budget advisory committee chaired by the Director General, so that constantly, quarterly, monthly, we are able to then monitor whether there is movement in terms of budget. Not just the movement, whether the money is actually being spent correctly. Irregular expenditure, I must say, Chairperson, that if one was just to look, comparatively speaking, we have done much more better if one looks at this progressively. Yes, there are still instances of irregular expenditure, but we are working very hard to try and reduce that. But also, there is consequent management, which is being actually implemented, so that people who have been the cause of such irregular expenditure, they account for that. But also, corrective measures, because, you know, sometimes people, when they talk about the irregular expenditure, it's like, sometimes it's just mistakes that people make, but they should be held accountable so that they do not repeat those mistakes. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, also, there's a special task team, set by the accounting officer to ensure that all these matters are actually being dealt with. Also, consequence management happens in this particular space. And of course, realignment of budgets to programs where work is done, I think that's one area that we are just trying to sort out, because if you were to look at the budgets, more particularly for infrastructure, you'd find that for legacy projects, the budget sits with my colleague, DDG IG, who is not necessarily dealing with legacy projects. Legacy projects are those new projects like Mamwini and others. Mm-hmm. And then you will find that the budget, infrastructure budget for the maintenance of institutions is sitting with me. And yet that's what she does. So there is that mismatch that we are trying to root out. In fact, we're going to have one branch dealing with infrastructure matters. The transformation of the sector, here we're looking at issues of transformation plan and BBBEE sector charter that is facilitated by the DTI. How do we ensure that we bring that to life, we practice that, so that we change the lives of the people and we transform the society. Also, challenges faced by artists, that's one thing that Chairperson, you have actually alluded to in your opening remarks. Now we have planned to roll out national intellectual property awareness workshops, information dissemination to empower the artists on the basis of copyright, because one of the things that we have learned is that most of the artists is just their talent of doing whatever they do as part of their craft. But beyond their craft, they must have an understanding of contract as well, so that when they enter the contract, they are not exploited. Yes, I'm just missing that big word. And then, of course, the department is engaging state law advisors on establishment of a judicial commission of inquiry into the exploitation of artists, copyright and royalties. Also engaging DTI on the ratification of international treaties that have implications for copyright issues. For instance, the Marrakesh Treaty, it's about access to information, it's about the printing of material, more particularly for the disabled, people with disability, so that you know, there is no problem in terms of making a lot of prints for those particular materials, because they are actually designed to address problems of a specific section of our community. Then human rights, human resource capacity or leadership and people management, also strengthening governance structures, issues of compliance, consequence management and discipline, but also coaching and mentorship, because we are building rather than destroying. So it's very important that there are mentorship programs, but concurrent with that, there should be disciplinary process when it be. Then also human resource capacity, we're talking about, we have been able to get something like or recruit 79 interns. Also we have advertised 19 critical posts in the department. And also we'll have the recruiting further 24 interns for the 2018-19 intake. Now, I don't want to spend time in terms of the vision, because we have shared the vision with yourselves, Chairperson, and then maybe just go straight to outcomes-oriented goals that guide our operations on a day-to-day basis, transformed and productive arts, culture, and heritage sector, an integrated and inclusive society, an effective and efficient arts, culture, and heritage sector, a professional capacitated and a capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector, and under the a transformed and productive arts, culture, and heritage sector, the area, the strategic objective here is to develop, protect, and promote cultural and creative sector, develop, preserve, protect, and promote heritage, promoting official languages, building relationships, access to information, and under integrated and inclusive society, that's where we lead, coordinate, and implement social cohesion programs. And in terms of efficient sector, creating coherent policy and legislative environment, driving an integrated outcomes-based research, planning, monitoring, and evaluation, sound financial management and control system, modernizing archives and records management, of course, in terms of the professional and capacitated sector, building human resource capacity and promote excellence. The values are the values that we have shared with you, Chairperson, but the new value that we have actually identified is responsiveness, that as a department, one thing that we feel that we still can do more is to respond to the public. And then these are ministerial priorities, which I think have been shared with the 10-point plan, which of course deals with matters of social cohesion, relationships with the international community. And then there are new initiatives that I think it's going to be quite important that we share with the select committee, like in terms of administration, we've commissioned GTEC to conduct a work study and organizational review, which has already started. In terms of institutional governance, feasibility and due diligence study, which looks at the possible amalgamation of entities, because we have about 25 entities. In fact, when you say these other government departments, they just raise their eyebrows to say, how are you managing? And other government departments have actually amalgamated, for instance, DIA, Environmental Affairs, the Sun Park, the South African National Park, which is one entity. We could just be looking at that kind of model as a Department of Arts and Culture. And then arts culture promotion in this particular area, the number of initiatives that are actually being looked at, the publishing house, which the minister has spoken about quite eloquently, the ministerial awards, which we're going to be having in the next week or two, targeted support for professional artists, for sector organization, research on the establishment of the national orchestra. Also the impact study on the artists in schools program, the point that you made, Chairperson, in the beginning, research on the formation of a South African film industry, which in this case, what is being envisaged is Sollywood, since you have got your Bollywood, your Hollywood, Living Legends, Legacy Trust Endowment Fund. This was launched by the minister in April to assist the Living Legends in carrying out with the work that they've been doing when they were still young. Then within the heritage space, there is a roundtable discussion coming where the ministers of culture in the continent are going to be following up on the IFLA conference took place in 2015. Certain resolutions were taken in terms of what ministers are going to be doing when they go back to their respective countries in order to promote the culture of reading and writing. So they will be coming back to report in terms of what is it that they have done since 2015. And then the feasibility study on the Resistance and Liberation Heritage Museum. We're looking at the draft. We're going to be doing the draft report by the end of the year. Also celebrating the centenary of the South African Library for the Blind. It's going to be the centenary of the Library for the Blind. The only country that has got the Library for the Blind is South Africa in the continent. So it's going to be taking... celebrating its 100 years. Now, there are questions that you raised, Honourable Chairperson, and I'm getting straight to them. Reduction of targets in the 2018-2019 APP. Now you can see that we are moving, we move from 65 to 36, and then just breaking it down, administration moved from 13 to 8, institutional governance from 17 to 8, arts, culture, promotion and development from 18 to 11, heritage promotion and preservation from 17 to 9. Now, the reduction is attributed to removal of targets that the department has no control of. Those that were purely operational and the MTSF targets achieved. Some targets were moved to the operational plan, will be incorporated in the APP once programs, projects are ready for implementation. Just a bit of explanation here, Chairperson, is that sometimes we put things in the APP, but their maturity level is not yet there. For instance, if you're talking about infrastructure, we put Archie Gumede, for instance, statue. Now, it was premature. I'll say why. Because issues of land had not been resolved. Now, we are saying when we are still working towards the finalization of all the preparatory work, let's not put that matter in the AP. That those things must go to the operational plan so that once we know that we have cleared the site, we have cleared all the consultative work that needs to be done, then we put it in the APP, because you put it in the APP, there are certain processes that you don't have control over. Now, that's why you would be seen to be failing all the time, because you have put things prematurely in the APP. Some targets have been consolidated, those dealing with compliance. So those are some of the reasons why you have now a reduced kind of target. Now, let me go now straight to now the APP, the real APP now. What are we going to be doing 2018-2019? I will run through this, Chairperson, just focusing on the performance indicators. Like the flagship events supported financially, we're looking at 20. Professional artist project supported, we're looking at 6. Cultural and creative sector project supported financially through cultural events, we're looking at 30. Market access platform supported, we're looking at 13. Gazette notices on standardization of geographical names published, we're looking at 3. Living human treasures documented per annum, we're looking at 2.
a number of estate infrastructure projects financially supported. We're looking at four. These four, Chairperson, we have just put it here because of also the preparatory work that has been done. Now, looking at the feasibility study on the Resistance and Liberation Movements Museum, we're looking at the draft feasibility study report by the end of the year. Number of flats installed, we're looking at 1,000 this year. Number of domains in which terminologies are developed, four. That's an area, Chairperson, that you were talking about. What are we doing about languages? What are we doing to ensure that our languages are also languages of science, languages of economy? It's not just for speaking, but you can theorize. This kind of work that is being done by the department here is actually designed to ensure that we improve the capacity of our languages. Number of multi-year human language technologies projects supported financially, but also documents received and accepted, translated and edited. So here we're saying that 100% of what's going to be brought to us for translation is going to be done. A number of collections are digitized because we now have to ensure that we do digitization because of the high tech society in which we find ourselves. But apart from that, the expanding archive and the reduction, the shrinking spaces, it calls upon us to do the digitization. But also the newly built and modular libraries supported financially. We're looking at 29 in this financial year. And the number of cultural diplomacy engagements that are going to be coordinated is about 20. Now, these, just, I'm not going to go through this. These are just the details of flagship events to be supported. And they are also found in different provinces. Also here, details of provincial flagship events to be supported. That continues to slide 29. And then also market access platforms to be supported. Maybe just to highlight a point here to say, yes, people can be involved in the production of cultural goods, but that is not adequate. Because once they've produced those cultural goods, where do they sell them? So these market opportunities are about ensuring that those cultural goods have got outlets where they can actually be sold, so that people who are involved in cultural production are able to generate income. These are multi-year projects to be supported about languages as well, technologies within languages. And then these are the projects that we spoke about, the O.R. Tambo, Mamuini, and J.L. Dube. These are the projects that are going to be implemented this year. O.R. Tambo in Kananda, Miss Winnie, Amadikizela Mandela, and J.L. Dube. And then those projects that are going to be digitized, it's Blokmo Design, Truth and Reconciliation Commission records, as well as treason trial records. Maybe just to take advantage of this, the training that was being spoken about. We worked with the French Institute of Audiovisual Media. They helped us with new technologies to read dictables. So they have been digitized. Now they can be accessed. Now, one of the things that we had agreed upon was that there was going to be training before the end of the financial year. But that training, Jefferson, was dependent on our partners in France. So it didn't happen before the end of the financial year. But I'm glad to report that training has happened. It happened in April, which is the first month of this financial year. So that's where we didn't, actually, that's why we didn't meet our target, because of the dependency on the other partners. And then the conditional library grant, and I'm not going to be talking to the details of this, Chairperson, honorable members and Deputy Minister. This is just a list of, you can see, a lot of work that is happening in this space. Projects that are at different levels of development, some at the initial phase, some contractors have already been secured, others are in progress, others, of course, are starting, but this is the picture that we have. And also what is good about this is that it's not projects that favor any particular province throughout the country. You have this project. But also what is good is that that comes from provinces themselves, because we transfer money to provinces based on their business plans that they do and submit to the Department of Arts and Culture based on their needs. I think that these projects continue. But maybe just talk a bit about the cultural diplomacy engagements to be coordinated, and I'm also glad to say that some of these have already happened. We are right in the middle of, or it's even past the middle of Africa Month. There are programs that have already taken place. The Algeria Week in South Africa has already happened. But this is the picture that we want to portray to the committee of the work that's going to happen this financial year. Brazil, we're going to be there. Kenya, Iran, Gabon, Zambia, Seychelles, and Zimbabwe. So we will be making impact in the international, in the global arena. And and these are other BRICS, China, France, Bukwe, WIPO, which deals with also these are WIPO in particular. It's a World Intellectual Property Organization, where issues of intellectual property are being debated. And as a young country, and as a young democracy, it becomes very much important for us to avail ourselves so that we can tap on the experiences of the world, more particularly to deal with our own circumstances. I'm not going to just go through all of them. They are there, Chairperson. And then an integrated and inclusive society. Here we're talking about leading and coordinating and implementing social cohesion programs. These are platforms that enable us to do that. The national days that are commemorated, we're talking about the six of them, then the number of social cohesion projects to be implemented, number of target programs supported, the number of community art projects supported, we're looking at about 150 programs. But also, one of the most pertinent programs here is moral regeneration, and the project there that we are supporting are those projects that deal with the popularization of the Charter of Positive Values, but also looking at a project that has to do with ethical leadership and local government, as well as moral regeneration, and that's the amount of money that we have set aside for these. And also, we're still going to look at the confirmation of the specific venues where these are going to take place. And then, of course, the Social Cohesion Advocate Program. We have, for this year, we're going to be having 20 advocacy platforms created and supported in all the provinces. A Social Cohesion Dialogue Program, public engagement platforms, media platforms, and then, of course, all these, we envisage a situation that when we have done this, at a particular point, we need to pull in a number of role players to actually begin to look at the issue of national convention on the social compact, where various stakeholders will come together and think about reimagining a new South Africa. We are already in it, but there are so many things that are not showing that we are in a new South Africa. The kind of tensions that we are having in our society, they begin to say, we still have got a lot of work to do. Then an effective and efficient sector. We want to ensure that we have an approved governance tool for DAC public entities to deal with the problems that Chairperson was talking about, that we do acknowledge the problems within our entities. So we need to sharpen our tools of ensuring that we manage them, or the oversight that we do over our institution is much more sharper than it is. Then what we do also is the number of CEOs forums, which is something that used not to happen long time ago, but now we have these forums where the DG meets with the CEOs, discuss matters that are common to all of us, and also solve problems. The feasibility and due diligence reports on the amalgamation of public entities, that's what we will be doing this year, so that we have a clear view in terms of how are we supposed to amalgamate our institutions? Because the view is we have to do it, but the trick is how it's done. And then the legislative framework, South African Libraries Information Services Bill, the social impact assessment report, number of heritage policies developed. Also, we will also be ensuring that the socio-economic impact assessment reports on the heritage policies develop, more particularly digitization policy, as well as the museum policy. Number of departmental and entities performance information reports or documents approved. And then, of course, our responsibility when it comes to institutions. I'm not going to take you through this slide, but all that it says, the reporting mechanism from the outcome 14 to our quarterly performance to our annual reporting, we just have to ensure that we improve in that particular area. The professional and capacitated sector, here we're talking about bursaries, number of bursaries awarded towards the development of qualified language practitioners, sector organization supported, capacity building programs supported. And then of course, these are the projects that are also about capacity building programs, the incubators, and the number of them that are actually being mentioned here. Just chairperson to say that, you know, this project, this program, you know, within the department, it became so crystal clear how important it is when in one occasion people who had gone through this particular program were actually doing their presentation at the Market Theater. It was so wonderful. You could see that the number of hours that are invested in honing the skill of the artist, it's so important because it perfects them. I mean, there's nothing that you would have wanted more than what they performed, young people, after going through that particular program of incubation. These are just additional notes about Mzansi Golden Economy open calls, where we are going out and calling for proposals. For instance, we are expecting cultural and creative sector projects, 30 community arts projects, about 150 professional artist projects, 6. Also 300 bursaries for development of the qualified language practitioners. I think I've spoken to this. Then there are also compliance measures that we are looking at, where we're looking at the, in terms of performance indicators, number of compliance, number of communication and marketing campaigns implemented to profile the department. Because yes, you can do the work, but if that work is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Number of services modernized, process automated, a total of procurement awarded to BBBEE compliant service providers, which is very important. We need to comply because that's our law. We are called upon to ensure that this happens. Number of Zimbizo held, we're looking at 20 here, because it gives an opportunity for our political principals to communicate and to interact with their constituencies and the people that they are serving in their capacities and ministers and deputy ministers. Workplace skills plan, reports generated, quarterly monitoring reports approved, work study reports approved. In fact, that's the work that has already been started. Interns enrolled against funded posts. That also process has already started, and we are looking at this year. Now, this is just the detail of the Zimbizo blend. Now, the alignment with the medium-term strategic framework, and we are sharing with the honorable members some of the AGSA findings on the work that we do. For instance, when it comes to the number of schools saying the preamble of the constitution, and they indicated that, I mean, the target here was the preamble of the constitution set in schools assemblies of 24,000 schools by 2018-19. And then the finding here was that it's not in the APP. And then our response was the DBE takes a lead in the implementation. The DAC supports through provision of national symbols. Because we're not in schools all the time. And those are the things that we have learned over time, Chairperson, that when we put our APP, we must be sure that we have got direct control. Because if you say people are going to be reciting in the assemblies and you are not there to actually see, then you are actually not setting a target that is achievable. You would rather work with DBA and provide the necessary materials. They are the ones who need to then try. And that's the kind of work that we are now dealing with. Them. Flying of the national flag, our target was 100% compliance by 2018-19, not in the APP. That's what the finding is saying, but we're indicating what we have done since 2014 up until now. But also, we are indicating here that it is in the APP. The department has planned to install 1,000 flags in the 2018-19 financial year, as I have already said in the previous slide. Then the booklet and poster of national symbols and orders. What the target was 25% of schools to have booklet and poster for national symbols and orders by 2014. And the finding also here was that it's not in the APP. And then the department was saying that the department has distributed 25,793 booklets and posters of national symbols from 2014-15 to 2017-18 financial years. We will continue to provide schools with national symbols. The work will be covered in the branch operational. That's what we have taken from the APP to the operational plan. We continue to do it, but we are now locating it within the operational plan. The national days hosted here, we put a target of 7, and then the finding was saying, but how do you put 7? We have only done a 6. Now, the issue here is that there are 6 national days that will be commemorated. The 7th day actually is the celebration of International Mandela Day, which is not part of the public holiday. Which is not part of the Public Holidays Act, and thus it's not a national day. It could have been also our own mistake to put it in a national day. It is not. It's just an international day which is celebrated by everybody. Number of community conversations on social cohesion and nation building conducted. The target is 150 community conversations by 2018-19. The finding here is the target of 150 to be achieved by 2017-18 financial year. Now our response is 129 community conversations have been held since 2014-15 financial year. Then the 2017-2018 was the final year for community conversations, even though the department will still continue with them at an operational level. Then the number of social cohesion advocates, public platforms program rolled out. The target here is 10 public platforms. Now what the finding is, target 20 has been in the 2017 financial year. Now the response is a total of 47 platforms for social cohesion advocates have been created from 2014-15 financial year to date. That the social cohesion advocates program will continue in the 2018-19 financial year, and the target is 10, which will result in the over achievement by 7. Now we just refer to the page 11 of the MTSF on outcome 14. Now artists in schools, the target is 2,000 artists. ASA finding not in the APP for 2018-19. Artists placed in schools up to 2017 financial year, 1,510.52. What we are saying as the department is that we shall continue to place the artists in schools. Budget has been set aside for the artists in schools program. Department is planning to place 140 artists in schools in the financial year 2018-19, and this is included in the operational plan. And then we're looking at the heritage infrastructure in rural areas built. We have talked about 2 heritage sites built per year up to 2018-19. And the finding is that only one infrastructure project has been planned for the 2018-19. Nothing has been reported as completed from 2014-15 financial year. Now, our response is that the following heritage infrastructure projects were completed in rural areas. Phase 2 of Nobel Museum, 2014, that is in Mutu, KwaZulu-Natal. Phase 1 of Ngqoza Hill Heritage Site was completed in 2015, that is in Flagstaff in the Eastern Cape. The Bambatha Stage 2 in Greytown, it was completed, but it could not be unveiled because of the problems within the chiefdom. So we couldn't, it's still veiled. We are now just engaging with them to see if matters have been resolved so that we can unveil the project. So we are saying here, and then we are acknowledging this, Chairperson, to say two projects per year could not be completed because these projects are multi-year projects, and implementation agents had to be replaced because of non-delivery, which is the problem that we have presented here, and also the issues of capacity within the department. Then the National Cultural Institute of South Africa, we had actually envisaged to establish what is called Black Visa. And then the target was to establish it by 2018-19, and it's not in the APP in terms of the IFA. And now, how are we responding as a department? Because we are saying the NACISA program has been reconfigured. It has been rethought and aligned to the existing skills development programs, including the incubator programs that I was talking about, the master classes and training programs that are being led by living legends. Now, since the original proposal for NACISA, there have been a number of factors which have informed a revised approach. Concern expressed by the sector with regard to duplication of current efforts and its location within the current value chain, constraints to the fiscus, making large scale investment in major new institutions unlikely over the MTSI. Concern expressed in the value of a centralized model for the country as a whole, because this was going to be an institute in one centralized location. But program, if you look at how programs are being developed, that you are able to decentralize a number of programs rather than just centralize them in one particular space. But of course, issues of finding a new institution under the current circumstances is one of the things that can reshape our thinking around this particular matter. Then the number of libraries built, what we put in here was 95 libraries, and it was built by 2019. Then the finding is the target to be achieved in 2017 in financial year and therefore not included in the 2018-19 APP. Our response here is that 105 libraries have been built from 2014-15 to 2017-18 financial years. The department will financially support building and revamping of 29 libraries during 2018-19 financial year, and more than 50% of the planned libraries are in rural, semi-rural areas. This is also included in the APP. I spoke to it in the APP. Then the number of community art centers. The target was 15 community art centers. The finding is saying not in the APP for 2018-19 and target not achieved. We are saying here, the department, no new community art centers have been built. The department is prioritizing programming in existing community art centers with engagement provinces. An audit done in 2013 identified 250 community art centers, and half of those belong to government. Some were not fully functional, operational, hence the decision to focus on programming in the existing community art centers was made. Because you can have this infrastructure to pursue, honorable members, but the issue is it effective? Is it efficient? Is it working? Now, the idea was rather concentrate on the existing infrastructure and see that there are programs that are taking place there before you can even think of proceeding, because you proceed to build white elephants. Then the refurbishment, also here we are saying that 18 community art centers have been refurbished. And from 2015-16 to date, and department is planning to support 15 refurbishment projects in the 2018-15 financial year, and this is included in the operational plan. Department has no full control over target implementation here because it's shared with provinces. The number of community arts centers programs, our target was 500 community arts programs activated. The finding is saying not included in the APP. We're saying as a department, 400 community arts programs have been supported from 2015-16 to date, and the department is planning to support 150 programs in 2019. Number of projects completed for Liberation Heritage, 8 projects completed, that was the target, but AXA founding is that 2 projects were planned to be financially supported in 2017. Our response is that Madola Monument was completed and unveiled in 2016. Provinces were requested also to identify 3 projects per province in terms of the resistance and liberation heritage route. And that was the cabinet decision. And that's the process which is, we're looking at the business plan currently. The team is also visiting the provinces to look at the business plan before any consideration of funding is done. Number of movies made to dramatize the lives of other liberation heroes such as Steve Biko, Malaliso, and then the target was 1. It's, the finding is that it's not in the ATP, but the DAC is saying we supported the making of the Mandela Gandhi in 2016, Lilian Goy in 2016-17, and the marketing of Kalushi, the story of Solomon Mandela in 2016-17. 2018-19 financial year, the department will support Nelson Mandela documentary as part of celebrating the program through the new topical title. The sourcing enterprise and the Art Bank South Africa, we have looked at one sourcing enterprise, not in the APP, but we are saying that we launched in 2017 the Art Bank. Zanzi Golden Market, the service provider was appointed to develop the portal, and second, the service provider did content generation and developed the platforms. The project is now at the stage where migration from the service provider will be hosted on the DAC IT server is being done. Number of African language included in official correspondence depending on provinces, top three languages, dominant languages spoken. Also here the finding was that not in the APP, but we're saying that the PI is the responsibility of PENSA. That's one work that is now going to be done by PENSA. So this is what is the matter that was resolved, if I'm not mistaken, not 2016, it was 2017. The number of international arts and culture citizen hosted or participated in the year was looked at 10, and then the target of 10 achieved in 2016 financial year. From 2014-15 to date, the department has participated in 6 seasons and 4 are planned for 2018 financial year. I would like to stop there, Chairperson, and then maybe request that the CEO just take us briefly in terms of the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and Deputy Minister. In terms of the budget allocation presentation, there are some few areas that I would like to address. The first one is the medium-term expenditure framework process, and then I will talk about the MTF allocation, and then also present the budget summary per economic classification and detail per program. If we go to this slide in order to save time, you can see that in terms of the original allocation, the department was allocated 4.4 billion in the year 2018 and 19, and is divided into 2 sections, which is the departmental baseline, which is 2.9 billion, and the conditional grant, which is 1.4. The conditional grant is the transfer of the library grant that we transfer to the provinces so that they can implement the grant. However, before the allocation were finalized for this current financial year, there was budget reduction, Chairperson. Then you can see how the budget were reduced in terms of us to achieve. Members are aware that during December, there was a pronouncement that we need to allocate additional funds to the free education, and all the departments were requested to reduce budget, and we also were affected by that directive. And this is how the budget was reduced in the area, in the department, this other slide show you how our public entities were affected by the reduction of the budget. At the end, from the 4.4 billion, we are ending up with a budget of 4.3 billion. So how is this budget divided? Before I go there, included in the budget is what we call earmarked funds. In regards to earmarked funds, it means you cannot use the funds for any other purpose, but only for the purpose that it was voted for. So in terms of, in that 4.3 billion, we've got allocation for the community library services at National of 28 million. You've got allocation for Pencil for 113 million. You've got the capital works budget for infrastructure at public entities for 504 million. You've got allocation for the National Film and Video Foundation for 133 million. You've got the bazaaries for heritage professionals for 5 million. You've got also the allocation from Zambia Golden Economy Strategic Project for 306 million. And also included is the library conditional grant of 1.4 billion. Below you see there's a line there which says compensation of employee ceiling, meaning that with the allocation of compensation of employee, you are not allowed. That is why they even use the word ceiling. You are not allowed to exceed that particular allocation. In terms of programmatic allocation, members, honorable members, you can see that program one, which is administration, in the 18-19 financial year, they will receive 300 million. Institutional governance, 216 million. Arts, culture, promotion and development, 1.1 billion. And heritage promotion and preservation, 2.4 billion. This, Chair, honorable members, is the allocation in terms of the economic classification, where you can see again that compensation of employees is 253 million, goods and services 387, provinces and municipalities 1.4, and the public entities 1.7. And the list is as indicated in the slide, Chairperson, if I can be allowed to go to how, where are these funds spent? If you look at our allocation, Chair, 80% of the funds of DAC is spent outside. That is, it is transferred to the public entities as well as the provinces for the conditional grant. Only 20%, which translates to 873 million, is spent within the department. So how are the funds spent? That 80% is now also divided. The highest allocation there goes to our public entities, which is the departmental agencies with 1.7 billion, and the conditional grant with 1.4 billion, and institution of higher learning, 7 million, household, 2.1 million, non-profit organization, 179 million, public corporation, 156, and foreign government, 4%. So the 873 million that DAC spend internally is also divided into the following items: heritage asset, 218 million, machinery and equipment, 8 million, goods and services, 387 million, software, 6 million, and compensation of employee makes 6 million of that particular allocation, 6%. If we go, this is how the allocation of program one is made up. Compensation of employee for 18 and 19 is 107 million. Goods and services, 76 million. Office accommodation, 108 million. And capital asset, 8 million. And this is just how that, in terms of program one, it will be spent on a graphical view. And what is spent outside the, sorry, Program two, institutional governance. Compensation there is 40 million. Within services, 87 million. And heritage asset, I think is what Mr. Dima addressed, that this particular item will be moved or reprioritized to program four, as they are the one responsible for infrastructure and legacy project. Then this amount is 218 million. So in the next financial year, when we present the budget, we're gonna see a shifting of this particular amount to program four. After, because in order for us to implement that decision, we need treasury approval to shift the funds. This is a graphical view of how the funds are spent within IG. Then we go to ACPD, where you can see compensation is 55 million, goods and services 27, departmental agencies 736, higher education 7 million, public corporation 23, NPI 36. And this is the graphical overview of how the funds are going to be spent, where we can see that departmental agencies takes about 59%, which is your public entities in that particular program. Within program 3 ACPD, you've got this particular fund, which is also earmarked, and is divided as per economic classification. You can see there that for departmental agencies, we've got 82 million, within services 37, household 7, non-profit institute 102 million, public corporation 76. So these earmarked funds are also, you are not allowed to spend outside of this budget. All these funds must be for MGE strictly and nothing else. And this is how is a graphical view of how the MGE funds are being spent. The last program is the heritage promotion and preservation, where compensation is 54 million, the goods and services 50 million, the conditional grant 1.4 billion, departmental agencies 920 million. And this is a graphical view of how the funds are spent in that particular program, HPP. Honorable members, this slide is showing the allocation, how much each province will be receiving in 18 and 19 for the conditional grant. You can see how the province are allocated, all that 4.4 billion per province. The next slide, honorable members, is the allocation to our public entities, and it's listed. You can see Artscape, Market Theater, Performing Arts Institute of the Free State, Playhouse Company, and this is all the allocation that goes to our public entities, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much for both presentation and the explanation that you were given, Deputy Minister and Acting DG. Nonetheless, as the members are beginning to engage the presentation, I just want to express my concern about the targets that were not part of your ATP, that were discovered by the Auditor General. It looks like you draw an ATP, and when you go to implement, you implement something totally out of the APP, totally out. And I do not know how does it happen that you implement so many programs or projects outside of the APP. I'm saying that against the reduction of the target, and to as they reduce the target now, are you going not going to find yourself performing or executing some of the programs outside of the EPP? It's something that I need clarity on as you give us responses. You've reduced the target. Now, in the presentation that you have given us, there are many programs or projects that you executed outside of the APP, which should have been included. But now, for purposes of this APP, you are explaining that you can't include targets or on things that are outside of your capability or jurisdiction or authority. Things that you cannot control, you must not include in your APP, you have said so. But most of the things, or a number of things that you executed in your way, in your plan, in the previous financial year, were not part of it. Yet you've reduced the target. So you clarify that maybe I'm not making myself clear. Honourable members, it's time to engage the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that Mr. Ndima will respond to your questions. But I think just before members ask questions, mm-hmm. I should touch on some of the questions that you asked mm-hmm. to avoid them being asked again.
Okay.
Yeah, for instance, you raised the point about the Winnie Mandela Museum,
mm-hmm.
that is province versus national.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should explain what has happened there or what is happening just in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are now, Chair, there is no problem with regard to the role of national. From 2011 up to where we are seated today, everything has been cleared. There was an investigation, forensic investigation, that was established by the minister, where then there were no problems there. I think the problem or the challenge or any other thing that you hear from the media is what is said that this project started somewhere in 2005. Am I correct? Started somewhere in 2005. Now from 2005 up to 2008, we don't have that information that says there was money from whoever and given to the project and there was a municipality. We are still investigating that one. We don't have information on that one. But we have information from 2007 that there was indeed money that the province planned for this project, which then about 2.7 million of that, originally the province budgeted 3 million for the project in 2007. But of that 3 million, the project, the province took 2.7 and gave it to the Wesley Church. That is, they revamped the Wesley Church in preparation for the centenary of the African National Congress in 2012. And then the 200,000, 2 point something, which is the difference between 2.7 and 3 million, we also have invoices that it was used for the plan, that is the drawing of the plans and what and have you. But money is before those dates. We don't have that kind of information. And we are still waiting for someone to tell us whether there were monies that were given, from whom to whom, we are not sure, that we are busy investigating that. And then secondly, we must also maybe inform the select committee that during this process now, when we're trying to find out what is happening there, we discovered also that there was an issue with the ownership of the land where Mama Winnie's house is. You must remember that that house was not Winnie's house. She was kept exiled in that house. That house belonged to a second family. Now, this family were taken out of that house, they were given a site. But unfortunately, the site itself is still on the name of that family that was there. But that one has now been sorted out between the municipality and TAC. But previously it was not. So those are some of the things that I thought maybe I should also raise, that as we are speaking, there is work that is taking place now there. because we have appointed a new, what do you call them, a planner, what do you call them? The person who appoints the contract, the contractors and everything. Yeah, project manager. So there is work that is taking place there now. And I think before Mr. Mabaso leaves, as I did indicate that he will be leaving at 11:30, there's left already. It's fine. I thought it's a pity that he's left already, because I wanted him to explain. If you still remember, in my budget speech at the NCOP, I said something about how to access MGE. You understand? Yeah. I said something about that. And then I said something about forms online. And also when I went physically, as much as I'm not a technology person, I couldn't access those forms. And then Mr. Mabaso was supposed to explain to us what is happening there. But DDGs, yeah, any one of them can respond to that, so that members of parliament should understand what led to members of the community not to access the forms in order for them to be able to apply for that funding. Because that funding, as I have said, that is an intervention from the department. You understand? In other words, the funding is a good, we try to assist them with the red tape that will be there in the department and other entities, and say that this is the fund. Then they will have to explain. And then the last one, the one that you raised with regard to, although Mr. Ndima did respond to that, the issue of the exploitation of the artist. I need also to inform members that last week, I think it was on Friday, we signed a submission to the president for the president to appoint a commission of inquiry, because the minister don't have that authority of appointing a commission of inquiry to look into the issue of the, what do you call them, royalties? Issues of the royalties. But at the end, they don't have money. Therefore, we want them to get in deep into the matter, so that we as lawmakers, we can try and assist and see how better we can assist them. But that has been signed by myself and the minister. It's gone to the president. I'm sure the president very soon then will announce that he will be establishing that commission. When it comes to the issue of the libraries and the infrastructure, is where we are doing very bad. You know, the 200 and something million that we're talking about mainly is because of the infrastructure and the libraries. What one has discovered then, I spoke to the responsible and said that one part that is lacking from us is monitoring. We transfer this money to the province and say that this is for the libraries. But we don't monitor what are the monies that are being used for libraries. For instance, you are saying that you go to Ezwelle Themba, Western Cape, Upper Worcester, visit the library, and then you'll get all the books in English and Afrikaans. And there is no African speaking or English speaking individual in that area. But then it's close. But when you go to the shelf, the course is empty. There are no books there. Now I'm trying to agree with you on what you said with that. So we are in the process of correcting that, because the way to do that is to get the staff outside those offices, because they are office bound. They don't go out by Mali to see whether if we transfer a certain amount to a certain province for those plain libraries and other resourcing of those libraries, Sibon, which is the money is used for those libraries. Otherwise, for the coming 5-10 years, we'll keep on transferring monies, we'll keep on having this underperforming and all those things, you know, because of the fact that we don't monitor. So we had our own meeting, and then that's what we are going to do now this new financial year. We'll get people out of those offices, they'll go out to provinces and make sure that libraries, and also make sure that the libraries are next to the schools, especially in rural communities. Because you get some of the schools without libraries. I've been to many schools where there are no libraries. So if there is a public library that is planned, let it be at least next to a school where school kids can getting access to those libraries. I just wanted to say those chairs so that members, when they ask questions, at least they need to have an idea that this is what we are doing in trying to make sure that we avoid, I mean, 235 million. It's a lot. I think last financial aid was 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe next year it's going to be 400 million. I mean, it's too much. Looking at the conditions of our artists, and also looking, one thing that I have also discovered, I had a meeting with Umabaso, is the fact that I discovered that when it comes to the building of the art centers, money that are put aside for the art centers, I think we do not train our staff who are given that responsibility. That money that is planned for the art centers is not for the infrastructure. It's also for to resolve that. Because you can't just build it to be a white elephant. Make sure that there are furniture like this. Make sure that there are some of the things that are needed in that building. And then most of these monies that are not being used when it comes to infrastructure are monies that are meant to resolve the building. You see, I visited about three or four since I started in this department, art centers. As not mixing a bucket. And then when I went back and sat with the acting DDG, we discovered that the monies that has not been used are supposed actually to be the monies that have been used to resource those art centers.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we know where the problem is, we have now started by trying to identify all those art centers that we need also maybe to revamp in some instances. I'll just make an example about the last one that I just said about a week ago, where you have members of the community, that is especially youth and women. You'll hear that people will come to you and say that, Comrade Mayor or Deputy Minister, there are some young people in Mkukwini somewhere, you know. They are making amabees, they are making frames and what, you know, beautiful things. And then I went there. And then when I arrived, the things that they are doing is just amazing. But the problem is, what will happen to them after doing them? It goes back to what he says about to help them on how to market and how to market their product.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went further and said that, but we have an art center, which is just a white elephant. You understand? Why can't we take them and maybe build three or four additional rooms in the art center, so that these women who are knitting, but they are kept somewhere in Mkuku. Then what is the purpose net of having an art center if you can't bring these women and these kids into that art center? And then Chairperson, maybe outside the meeting, I can sit with you because I had a meeting with them and I came up with plans like maybe the department we should have been dressing with the Oba. What is this that is happening here? Up about the community, on a certain day, there is something that is happening. People go in group and buy there. Yes, flea market. Because I went there in that township. There's a lot of things that is. I even bought something for myself, although I didn't need it. But I just wanted to boost their morale.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I said that if we can have something like that, maybe on a Wednesday or whatever, they'll say that today is the market day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we help them. If it means bringing them to Cape Town, we bring them to Cape Town. You understand? Because they're around in the Western Cape for that specific day, and we encourage some of our own people to go there and buy there, and so that when they go back, at least they say that you benefit from what you are doing. So those are some of the things that I discussed with them in order for us to be able, not in future, to have such a huge underspending. Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to take your time.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation from the Department, Deputy Minister, and the TDGs, senior officials of the Department. It's appreciated because the presentation is quite detailed, so we do appreciate actually that. Chair, I would like to draw the attention of the department to, I think it's slide 20, which deals with the 10-point plan of the minister or the department, which they have actually set themselves out the priorities for the department. Now, in terms of item number 4, on those priorities deals with the Mzansi Golden Economy. And it's an issue which the DM was also trying to clarify earlier on. And she's quite correct when she says she dealt with it even the last time when she was presenting, I think the minister was presenting a budget speech or so, if I'm not mistaken, just under correction. Now, my view has always been for the past, I mean, since the beginning of the fifth term, Honorable Minister, my problem about Mzansi Golden Economy is that 24 years into democracy, the allocation or the focus of it has been going to the same provinces. That has been my view for the past 4 years, if you may look at it. Because if you look at the provinces that are benefiting or the allocation of this particular fund has been going to, how can I put it, maybe to particular provinces. Now, for the past 24 years, in terms of my view, I don't get the sense where the department says, no, look, these provinces now, they've adequately benefited. Now, this is now more than 24 years into democracy. Now, those that have not benefited, there's a list, and the department has got that list. At some point, I think it was still under the leadership of DG, the then DG, Mr. Jack, who came to the select committee and presented to us. And I would like to quote him what he said when he was presenting. He was presenting a pie chart. Pie chart is that thing where you say 10% to this province, 40% and all of that at that time. And we had a problem and I said, no, look, DG, try to check those provinces that are not benefiting. Now, the response we got from the department at that time, in particular to the, I mean, rural areas. I mean, if you go to KZN, if you go to the Northern Cape, Limpopo, they are, I mean, the poorest of the poor located in the rural area. How do you then bring those people in also to benefit? Because if you can see in the provinces where the beneficiaries of this MGE is located, is in the urban areas, and I think that's a fact. And that has been my issue for, I mean, all the time that we meet the department and say, no, let's look at this. And the response that we're getting from the department is that the reason why the communities in the rural areas are actually not benefiting in the different provinces is that when there's public hearings or when there's adverts out, they don't get access to those things so that they can actually apply. But now, there are forums like your MINMEC and all of that, where the different MECs, they are also representing their provinces at the level of national. And then they actually know their areas much better to actually prioritize and locate where the interest is based in those provinces. So I would like to say, Honorable Minister, and that comes from the bottom part of my heart, let's try to redirect. I know it will not be drastic because, I mean, there will be a lot of resistance if you want to change overnight and say we have been focusing this direction, now we are going to focus this direction. You are going to get, of course, a lot of resistance. But let's try to be inclusive as much as we can. I think that's the point that I wanted to make as the first one. And then the second one, item number 6 on those priorities of the department, the debt schools program. The department also indicated that they want to, for this financial year, I think it's the 2017-18 financial year, they want to, allocate about 1,000 flags to the schools, the South African flags. So I just want to find out how far are you, how many schools you have actually, allocated the flags to, and where are those schools actually located. And then my last point will be, Honorable Chair, during the taking parliament, I think it was the report back session, we're in the Eastern Cape, there's a library in Tabankulu, a state-of-the-art library, Honorable Minister, a very nice library, but there are no books in the library. So if you can also maybe check and follow up and ensure that that library gets that allocation. And then before I conclude, Honorable Minister, and then this is the last one, it's not a complaint, Honorable Chair, it's about the Cape Town Jazz Festival. And I'm sure I'm going to raise it, but just in passing. We complained the last time that the select committee and the portfolio committee are not being treated equal in regard to these government events where committees of parliament are being invited. The portfolio committee always get preference over us. Now we raise that issue here in the committee to the department. And then the department said, the minister said, no, we'll look at it and then we'll see how we'll address it. well and fine, it was addressed in the last year, but to some extent. We did receive the invitation. I think, honorable members, there was an invite to the committee and it was sent to us as members. And then we are supposed to fill in a questionnaire of your partner, the details and all of that. And then we are informed you are supposed to get your accreditation at the venue at 6 o'clock. Some of us, we did not go home. It was on a Friday. We went there and then only to find out we did not have any accreditation. And then we were informed, did you submit your details? Yes, I did submit my details. No, here is the number of, I think there's a lady by Busit Lamini. And then call Busit Lamini, there's another one again. No, I'm not dealing with your accreditation. Call, there's another lady, I forgot the name. So we kept on phoning and then we were sent from pillar to post. Ultimately we were told, no, get your access into the festival. You'll get your issues sorted out inside the festival. So the issue there was, how do you get access into the venue if you don't have that necessary accreditation? But for me, I did make my way inside the venue, Honorable Chair. But through peaceful means also, of course. I did find myself inside the venue, and then I even went to Arts and Culture. I think it's when the president also came there. I mean, it was before the former president came to Arts and Culture, and then even when the current president also came, I was at Arts and Culture. To go and just observe and get a sense of, really, the people that are here, are they supposed to be here? Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced, Honorable Deputy Minister, the people that get access to, some of these festivals who are invited are not supposed to be there. The real people who are invited, I mean, closed outside, and it's an issue which the department needs to take up very seriously. I'm raising it for the last time because this is the last time before we go out on recess, and we might not come back. But for the benefit of those that will be coming back, it will be good if this issue can be considered. Thanks, Honorable DM. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, colleagues, and the department. Honorable Stoke is speaking on behalf of all of us. Honorable Deputy Minister, we suffered the same fate. He was lucky then he got inside because he has connections. Those of us who don't have connections, we have to suffer right through. There is our committee secretary knows we kept on worrying here about this. There was a person called Jemina.
Yeah, Jemina.
Jemina, I think she gave it's the she or he. My suspicion that the tickets were given to Jemina's friends. Because Jemina ended up not picking up the phone from us and also from the committee secretary. So that Jemina must really address whoever that Jemina is. It's as if you read my mind, Honorable Deputy Minister, on the issue of copyright. Now it's not going to be a question, it's going to be a comment, because I'm already answered. It should be a very good thing that you set up that commission. I was thinking of what I read last week about the Hector Peterson picture, photo, and the story last week in the paper was saying the person who took that photo was paid 100 times. And it's a picture that is all over the world today. There are a lot of issues. There was an issue during 2010 around the origins of Vuvuzela. There has been a long-standing issue. I don't know if it has been resolved around the origins of Mbube. So there is quite a lot of work going back for that commission, and thanks for it. The amalgamation of entities, I do want to say this is a good move. And when one of these entities visited us, colleagues will remember, I did ask, I think it's Professor Mangocho, about why there were two similar agencies doing more or less the same thing. And the response I got was really not satisfactory. So really putting some of this together will help a lot so that we don't waste money and that there is focus. The flagship events at Ntichi, I have to shout at you again.
You remember the story I told you and the minister, was it last year or the year before last, that in KZN, the Uku Jazz Festival was the first jazz festival in the province. But each time you don't budget for it. Even this year I've been checking, it's not there. The module libraries, I was checking for the meaning of module here. So I just want to ask why. Why modular libraries for those areas? And my concern and worry is when I look at KZN and the areas where these modular libraries are going to, it's rural areas. To me, my conclusion is it is because it is rural areas that you are doing this to them. You wouldn't take it and put it here in Cape Town. Why not put it here in Cape Town and do bricks and mortar in the Mungobo? You know, suit. Why not the other way around? Next one, Chairperson, is the provincialization of libraries. How far have you gone with that? You can't keep on doing it forever. There was a project that was started by National in respect of the issues of unfunded mandates to local government. I want to find out how far it has gone. Have all the libraries now been handed over to provinces, and is National funding the running of the libraries? Are you giving provinces money to run them, not just to build, but to run them? I was also looking at the compensation of employees on page 78, but it's also all over. I'm noticing something that I hadn't noticed before, but I'm noticing that compensation of employees is taking less money than office accommodation, not unless maybe office accommodation is with something else, but if it is just office accommodation alone, I would like an explanation as to why is office accommodation consuming a lot more than compensation of employees. And then lastly, I've been looking for I don't know whether it's a theater or what that we visited at the Select Committee in Northern Cape, where there were issues, he was with us. I was looking for it here as to whether it is getting funding now for it to be able to run. I don't see it. And it's going to be one of those stories that the Deputy Minister was talking about if there is no funding for it to run. I also would be interested in knowing why. Why is it also not catered for? And lastly, I'm not complaining, but I just want an explanation. I was looking at all those heritage institutions at the back that you are funding. There are two figures. There is one for subsidy and one for capital transfer. Can you explain that? I also noticed that capital transfer is fluctuating. For example, Bay House in Devon, for 1819, it's 31. For 1920, it's 6 million. It goes up and down and up and down. So I'd like to get an explanation. In respect of subsidy, it's okay because it's accumulating every year. But the other one is fluctuating fast.
Just one brief issue that I also asked you the previous year. I see the considerable amount that goes into the different art festivals all over the country. I've got a question there. I would like to know, for instance, the let me just get to that page. There's quite a big KwaZulu-Natal. Is it supported with either as a Indoni as a national event with 10 million, and then on two pages later, as a provincial event with another 10 million. Is that 20 million? I would like to know, there are other few that's also sponsored as a national event and a provincial event. I want to know if it's doubling up then. Normally it's just, usually it's the same amount. But what I found here, and that was basically my question that I put also last year, is the absence, and I know they have not applied for this year, but in the previous years they have applied, was most probably the biggest cultural festival in the country as far as attendance is concerned, and also over the length of period in time, and that is the KKNK. Why don't we find them here, and why were they, the previous year's application rejected? In fact, they had, of course, a lack of funding, they had a change of management, but it remains the biggest cultural festival in the country. Why are they not being supported? Are there reasons for it? Similar also, and I was intimately involved with applications from the ARTSOF National Arts Festival, who made repeated presentations and submissions to the Northwest Provincial Government. And I know, for instance, they were awarded at one specific year with 300,000 rand, which at the end was not paid. So is there a balance between looking at all the different language groups, art festivals, or is there a bias? Well, it appears from this, as well as from the massive amounts in the Northwest France that went to really small art festivals and jazz festivals with very limited attendance. Versus the blatant pushing aside of the biggest art festival also in the Northwest Arts application. I would like to know, so have some information on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation from the department and also the political overview from the DM. My first question, Honorable Chairperson, was covered. It was the question of Umewini Matikizana Mandela Museum, as you know that I'm coming from the Free State province. I was covered by the answer from the DM. My first question, Honorable Chairperson, is the question on the Flex DDG. You mentioned that you are going to deliver as many as you can concerning this issue of the Flex. My question will be, what monitoring put in place to make sure that this flag reach the rural areas? DM, you know why I'm asking this question. I'm coming from the smaller Nyana rural areas. Last week, on Friday, the learners came to me asking the national flag. It was on Friday. On Monday, before I came to Cape Town, I go to that school and check. There's no flag. In that area, we've got only two secondary schools and one primary school. My second question, Honorable Chairperson, is on page 16. DDG, you said the department has advertised 19 critical posts and the recruitment of 24 interns for the 2018 and 2019 intake. My question, when the post was advertised and when we are going to fill that post? Because you said this post is a critical one. On page 16, DM, the department has advertised 19 critical posts and the recruitment of 24 interns for the 2018 and 19. I just want to check when the post was advertised and when the post is going to be filled. DM, also, if you can tell us when the DGG was introducing herself, he was saying, I'm acting. So I want to know how long he was acting and when we intend to fill that post. Because this phase of the DG, I know it's a long time that I saw the DG, and this thing of acting, I think. DM, if we can just fill the post of the DDG. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. DM, I'm happy that you mentioned that the library in Worcester is short even of its possible. And we had gone. And that is true. I was complaining about the sign language absence of books and the brain as the capacitation of the people who work in the library. To capacitate, you need to capacitate the people so that if deaf people come there, they can be saved. They are not laughters. One of the things that I've picked up in the libraries nationally, and I'm speaking about the library that is in Tanzania, which I went with Mazwane and Mama Thandi Modise. That library is an art, state-of-the-art library, but the braille as a language is not catered for. We are failing our people because people with disability who are dependent on sign language become laughters. Even when they go to police, it's one of the things I've been fighting with the police department. I'm also fighting it with the language. And PenSalp has been making all the imigushus to get the sign language recognized. It's not recognized. And I'm sure with you, there will be a change. Because this has been my detector creating a land. Worcester is one, as a Cape Townian, is one of the places we, Itelabati, Ipayana, Itelabati. And disability in Worcester is a suburb, Itelabiz of Ba, Giabakova, the Glee. But the fact that it is not catered in the library is an insult to the people with disability. Can Minister please, Ndichokatatu, uyibone into ba in libraries, kuzo zonke 9 provinces, not only Western Cape, kuzo is catered, and abantu abasebenza capacitated with the sign language. Not even one person could be helpful. Band, not even one from the officials. At least in the library, there has to be one person or tetayo. This has been Mazwane uyakhumbula sasabene noMama uThando Modise. Into nanithethe emdansane kwaward 14 apho sasikhona ukuthi it's an insult. Eyokuqala leyo DM. Esibini, I want to know what criteria is used for the allocation of funds per province? Dibonile ifas, and my question was, how do you allocate funds in Limpopo, a Free State, a Western Cape, a Johannesburg? How, when you allocate funds, what criteria do you use? Do you use the criteria on the population ba zingapi, don't in library and whatever? What criteria are you using? Thirdly, pencil ndivile data uthetha ngaye but bendiphume ngaye angaseze ndivuye ndifike apha uthetha ngaye unesikhalazo pencil akanazo into yokuba some of the people abekho for so long abekho permanent within the officials akaseze pencil andiyazi ntoni lecingisa into yokuba over a period of time, 2 years, 3 years, babe bese temporary, abengekho permanent. Can you look into that, Minister? I know you look into that. Because ndiqinisekile into yokuba ikhona into enibambayo uba ningabenzi don't. With regards to bursary, I'm so happy to hear this. Ngobani abafumana kwezi bursaries zabelwa abantu and what criteria are used per province ukunika abantu ibursaries. I'm so happy that you're giving back to the community and you capacitate language practitioners, which is so good. But I want to know ubantu abakhubazekileyo do you also give ilona ezi bursaries?
I'm going to go to the department. Kodwa ndifuna ukulandelela kulo mbuzo umbuzo ngumama umshodi le nto ineflex ezikolweni okanye kakungombuzo koko kukuthi iidepartment zakwazi na into okokuba ike isinike uluhlu lwezikolo ezineflex so that nathi xa sisenza ukulandelela senza i-oversight sibe sisazinto okokuba siyaphi kanti sibuye neripoti ethu kwezinye izikolo sifikile sazifumana kwezasikwazanga ukusilimana cinga uba ingasincedisa loo information ndizoya kula ntetho kamphathiswa kwi-fontikanovambiyakhe bethetha ngento yaselandveka kumamoweni. You know, ukuba le information yayize ngexesha ekomitini okanye abantu bayazikwa ngexesha into okokuba kwenzeka ntoni pha le nto ithethwa ngabantu abantu ngebengathethi ngolu hlobo ukuba information ikhawuleze siyisherishe ngexesha. I think information ipower ngamanye amaxesha okanye ulwazi luyakuncedisa into yoba xa kubuzwa into kuthethwa ngento uye ngqi ukwazi ukuphendula. I think mphathiswa usincedisile ke kule nto yase-Free State kuba ngoku biseyifayanyiswa apha kum yanyaniswa kum yanyaniswa kum njengemntu omele abantu. Ndiye kule nto inamatala encwadi mhlawumbi apha kwi-MIMEC sinengxaki sekela mphathiswa ye-MECs ndicinga into yoba irole yethu kwenze oversight njengoba nathi nani nisenza oku kulandelela imali eniyinike amaphondo uqinisekisa uba izinto ziyenzeka. Ikwa irole yethu as ii-members zepalamente into okokuba sincedisane ne-department ukuthi kwi-area yethilo ebcd yenzeka mhlawumbi apha kwi-MINIMEC kake libenze abaphathiswa aba bayi-understand ile nto ikwazi into ii-MCs khe ziyazi into okokuba xa kwenziwe ilibrary ithala lencwadi kwiprovinsi akulo lakhe umsebenzi karhulumente wokuncedisana noluntu okokuba kufumaneke iincwadi singathi xa sisenze oversight ufike umphathiswa exabile engafuni uba singene kube sithi akazani naloo nto thetha nge-Eastern Cape nandithethi ngenye indawo ke abantu abakuthi thetha ngeli lam iphondo mhlawumbi ke luzoba khona utshintshi fumanise uba umphathiswa akafuni ningene. I mean sithi kaloku ngabaphathiswa nabo kokwelobakazi oo-MEC aba ngam sizigqemba zolawulo umaphondo kodwa ke ngokusee sithi singabaphathiswa xa sibabiza sibakwanise nani mhlawumbi ke yiyona le nto bayenza into kokuba sithi xa sifuna ukungena kwithala lencwadi athi uba engaxelelwanga makangavuli laa mntu phaya also nale nto ethi DM makhe ethubeni khe sicaciselwe iroad okanye iroad between oomasipala kwezi kulaa mathala zihamba ezi zinto zidibane phi ngoba uyafumanisa into yoba nangona sithetha ngale IGR nje xa sekusiwa ba ke ngokunabasebenza kanjani akuunderstandwa omnye uyenze yaku asikade ibe clear ukuthi le nto thina baphathisiweyo umsebenzi into okokuba lo ayo yakho le into yinto yoluntu makhe kude kucaciswe into okokuba ithini irole okanye ii-relations between the two the province and umasipala no-national abakwazi ukuzohlula makhe mhlawumbi ke kubekho u-ABET ogqibeleni sikwazi into okokuba sonke sibe aware into okokuba loo msebenzi ukuzama uncedisana noluntu ukwenzela uba kufumaneke incwadi kuba le mali yonke isuka phezulu koko ihlulahlulwe xa sele i-allocate. I think bandikhavarisile oogxa bam abasebethethi lapha nawe ezinye zempendulo wasinika enkosini sibekela mphathiswa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. Chair, I was not sure whether to speak or not to speak. Reason being that I'm not sure whether, maybe that we have UDM, know you from the other portfolio. One of the mama actions I know in the country. And that gives me hope that some of the things that we are raising are going to be done. Chair, why I did not want to speak is because, let me start with what Honorable Stoke said today. The first statement he made, how do you allocate budget according to provinces? In our first meeting, he started with that I followed because I was looking at my province. It gives me a question then, DM, that I wonder what is the understanding of the department when they come to this select committee, the issues that they raise, what do they do with them? Maybe one will want to know the process after this meeting, what do you do with the issues we raise? Because we're not like the portfolio committee, we're representing provinces. Before we come here, we go to our provinces and be nominated by our legislatures for us to come here. So I'm representing Mpumalanga here when I speak about Mpumalanga. When I raise issues about Mpumalanga, I expect the department to act on these issues. My fear, Chair, issues that we raised in 2014, one of the things is the first statement the stock made. He said, if you can go to your report of our first meeting with you, you'll find what Stock said. He's saying it today after 4 years, and there is no change in your planning. So my question is, what is your understanding when you come to this committee? Expecting us to raise issues, you respond, you go, and you have life as usual. What we said does not matter to you as a department. It's my biggest concern, Chair. I'm not sure why I'm talking, because really, I don't think we're taken serious by the department. It's just a wasting of time for me if things are not going to be considered by the department. I will go back to the issues I raised 2014, Chair, because this is our final year doing plan with you. I don't know whether they will be implemented, if they could not be implemented, send them a follow-up each and every year, Chair. Let me start with one issue. It's not the old issue, Chair. In the introductions, DM, I had one of the officials responsible for planning, monitoring and evaluation and something else at a chief director level. I can't remember what was the other something else he meant. Entities. DM, until you take planning, monitoring and evaluation serious, you'll never see the light. All the problems, DDG, as you were saying, you'll never be able to correct them until you take M and planning, M and E serious. I'm not talking when you add something else on top. We're with him in the areas we were visiting. He's the person who's been with us throughout when we do oversight. My question is, what is happening with planning and M and E? I did not even know that he was responsible for that. In planning, monitoring, and evaluation, if it is a level lower, these other people, they will never take him serious. You know, some officials are conscious about the positions. I know I've been there. Very conscious about the position. Who are you to tell me? I'm a DDG. Ming DG, who are you to tell me about what to do, about my things? You are a chief director, a junior to me. I mean, it's there. It's normal. It's there. If you want to see your planning M&E working, consider, I'm not talking about the person now, consider the level where you put your planning I saw you have it in your things, in your plans there, trying to prioritize it. But my advice to you, consider the level of that office. It will then be taken serious and you will be able to follow your things. You are doing so many things. I am not even aware, Chair, that you know how important this department is. Very important. In fact, Chair, if this department was doing what it was supposed to do, having all the resources, a number of us unemployed people who did not have an opportunity to go to school could have been accommodated, those who have retired, because if you don't look at the qualifications, it's more about of people. If those talents were followed, I think it would have reduced the number of unemployment or poverty in our country. Chair, on the issues raised before, I raised an issue of, I'm now sounding like a broken record, because each time you come here, I raise this issue, but they're about my problem. The issue of Samora Machel Monument. I don't know, Chair. I don't see, I'm raising it because I don't see any, I don't see it in your plans now. I don't see. I raised it many times since I came here, I've been talking about that. That monument is very small. And also, if you consider the event that happened there, I don't see anything. I would appreciate that you do something. You have the issues, I raised them so many times. It's also the report of the oversight. We were there as a group. We saw as members of the community. The issue of the Lion of the East, I raised it so many times. Kersibang and Bumala even requested that we have a stage of the Lion of the East. And also the project itself, I don't see it in your plan. I raised it so many times. It was a very good project, eye-opening. I've watched it so many times myself. I'm raising it again. Is there a monument still there, lie within Cape? I raised it so many times. A very painful story there. Some people were moved there. Now they are not even allowed to come and stay there. But they are hidden behind the mountains there. But there is a small thing which they call their monument. They requested that it be developed so that at least they have something to show. They have history about that. Is there still there here? George. But I know it's still there, like Western Cape. Hopefully, it's on the taking parliament to the people. No, it's not that municipality, but the district. Where we went for taking parliament to the people? Like Western Cape. Eden. Yeah. The area, the place is still there. Beautiful place. If you can say what's on, because I only saw white only. 10 people were moved there. The department is away. I've spoke about it so many times, and there's a report on taking parliament to the people by the issue of flex. I don't know how to do it anymore, because were given numbers of a person who is responsible. I requested all the schools around my constituency office, they don't have flex. I even linked them with the administrator in the office. It was an issue of they are going to come, nothing happened. I was checking with him now, said they did not receive. All the schools don't have, and Taiwan and North and South. I'm just saying the issue what Honorable Short was saying. In rural areas, we don't have those flags. Let me talk about this Winnie Mandela. Honorable Chairperson, remember there was a meeting dedicated specifically for that matter, which you requested that I chair, missing old assembly. We had a district, we had the municipality. The challenge, Honorable DDG, when you have these meetings, who don't send people at your level who will be able to take a report direct to you. There was a meeting that I will request that my officials share aggregate a full report about that. Who was missing is a problem. But national, the district, the municipality, all of them were there. Most of the issues by then were sorted out. And yes, there were questions about how you spend money as national department then. There were issues there. But at the time when we met, we were ready to move and build. If we did, as Jefferson was saying, really what happened would have found us far. I'm just requesting that, in fact, also the issues that you are raising now, when you come and report towards later in the year, give us a report on these issues. How far have you gone? Because now we're planning. Give us a report. On the Winnie Mandela Honorable Chair, I was lucky to be deployed at Alfred Nzo Mbizana. We were to the township village where Mamwene is coming from, in O.R. Tamba.
Mbongweni.
Allow me to say it in this word. Mbongweni. Okay. Konala, okay. Absolutely nothing is being done about Mamwene. Nothing. We raised it when we were there because we wanted to know. Before he died, like, we knew that this was going to happen. We raised it very sharply that at least if you did not know how big the woman is, I think now you have seen it during the funeral. Yeah. You know, sometimes we undermine each other. We say, oh, Mamwene, because we know where. In that meeting we had, Chairperson, we even said to the officials, go to her and ask her what would she want to see happening there in her name. That's what we said. I don't know if they did it, you must ask them. Because that was the request we asked from the officials. They must not just do things on her name because she was still alive. We must go and ask her. We asked them to do that. It was not only that with Mamwene. Alexandra, Jovek, there's a project, I think it's a library. We said they must also look into that, and they promised that they were going to look into it. So we are requesting that lay where in the village where she's coming from. It's not something that we are saying now, because if you can check the report, taking parliament, those things are there just before she passed on. So if those things could be considered. On slide number, I've already spoken to, in your infrastructure management, I think that I've already spoken to that. Planning and monitoring and evaluation is very much important that you do. I don't know if DDG, whether I would, or FDG, I would want to agree with you that you have removed the project from infrastructure to operational because you're at the planning level. I don't think that is the right way of doing it. What you do in your APP, you put indicators of the things that you will do in that particular year. If your activity that year is planning or feasibility study, put feasibility study. Do that. If your activity as an indicator that year is getting signed to build, put that indicator. Don't hide it somewhere. And that, I think that is what the chair is complaining about. Don't hide it somewhere because it looks like now you're hiding them where we're not going to see them. We know the process of infrastructure. It doesn't start from building. It starts somewhere. So it looks like now you're hiding them somewhere. But once you have this planning and unit, you'll be able to do that. Slide number 1. Promotion of official languages. DM, I don't know whether the department realizes that the key things that you are responsible for, the promotion of official language, African, is it African or official, indigenous languages, in-name change, is social cohesion. Instead of progressing, we are regressing. We did say that when the minister was here the other day, a number of ideas came to that meeting. We are regressing. It says a lot about the department. I see, and also saw the things that you want to do on social cohesion. I don't see them taking us forward. Calling meetings with communities and talking. Social cohesion is not something that you can build in talking. Meetings can be there, but there must be dedicated activities that builds towards social cohesion. The other thing the M1 would want to add, we are in a modern IT world now. Call a meeting for interaction or engagement. Who will attend those meetings? Because about our meetings, my WhatsApp, people, social media, everywhere. Be creative. Come up with something that will be liked by people. Those things were said in that meeting. Maybe this thing of, I don't like sometimes when the youth talks about the generational mix, but sometimes you see the value of it. Have young people in yourself who come with ideas of things that are liked by young people, because we are here now, we're waiting for our generations to come, building for them. Try to mix yourself so that they will come, or if you outsource, get people who will be able to come up with ideas that will be bought by the young people. Instead of our meetings, our suburbs, even our own political parties, not because people don't like, but they are more on the digital world than physical meetings. I'm like stuck myself. If you look at what you are doing in other provinces as compared to what you are doing in Mpumalanga, what I said in the first meeting I had with you, I don't see, you'd ask yourself why I'm in this meeting. Really, go back and check what is happening in Mpumalanga. It's an embarrassment for me. On the events that you support, there is Inibos. There are two from Mpumalanga. Inibos is a racist event. We raise it very sharp. It's only meant for white people. We said we cannot put money there if black people are not involved, other racial groups are not involved. Can we check that? It was a provincial decision that leadership as in Mpumalanga, government can't put money in a racist event. Can we check that before we put this money, the 2 million? It must accommodate everyone. People do go and see. They won't stop you if you are black. Don't come and see. But everyone else who's participating there is white. Your artists, from everyone who's participating. Can we check if that has been corrected? Honorable Hatin raised the issue of an event that is budgeted twice in the Ndoni Cultural. There is also a Bubeleni Music Festival, slide 26, but also if you go to another third slide on the line, a Bubeleni is also there. Budgeted twice, one wanted clarity. Among libraries, I raised an issue in Bombele Library. It was made for the very small nail spade at the time, but Bombele has grown as a big place now. Not only the size, but also I don't know whether you call it renovation or what. They are using very old furniture. And all my libraries, the simple Mpumalanga at the time when I visited there, did not have a system. I don't know whether who was changing a system. Even when you send books, they were not recorded. They did not have, they were not even writing them down. People will come and go, meaning that those who are not honest will not bring them back. There was also an issue of a system. Chairperson, the last one is our involvement in nationally. I see a number of African countries. One question I have, Chair, is that what value, the impact of our participation, what is it that we are learning that we bring back here in the country? We are very strong in cultural activities in these countries. What value does it add to us as a country? What is it that we benefit? Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you. It's quite a couple of issues. But you've got a full complement of manpower to take care of these questions. Honorable Mpapo Chibokwane is requested to raise one more issue. Just in a minute.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Minister, adding to what Honorable Stock had said about Jazz Festival, I was one person who was, I think it's Rofiwa Mudau, one of your officials from the ministry, it's Rofiwa, ne? Rofiwa Mudau. He was very helpful. My compliment, I tend to differ with the Honorable Stock. We were sent from pillar to post, that is true. But when I met with Rofiwa Mudau, I was treated with the dignity that I deserve. I don't have, the others were to give IDs, were to give all the service that were honorable members. We don't need that. DM, we don't need that when we have Sifungile Kumukwengu, which is the honorable members. I had to come from Endlin, this drive and this upper. But when I met with Rufiwa treated us with dignity. And some of the members that I had spoken to before time, their tickets I had got, I just wanted to ukwale kumsundu lukulondao, uba urufiwa mudao, yena wasrita, but from pillar to post, the officials, bezilalangati, we need the same respect that they give to the portfolio committee, Nkosi Deputy Minister.
Thank you, like Honorable Dlamini has stated, I also went through this again, and I think it would assist if we can get the criteria, how this is applied, because I now looked at this, it's supposed to be an event, but it appears to be a religious musical group, Spirit of Praise. He's got a number of CDs out on the market, DVDs out on the market. It's a group of 8 people, and they are being supported with 4 million, it's half a million each. I would like to know how does it work, and then you get a 10 days arts festival going into all of the communities that doesn't get a single cent. And I agree with Honorable Dlamini. If a arts festival is there to exclude people from any group, I've got my doubts. But on the other hand, I don't know how inclusive is the Indoni festival. I don't, but I know that there are festivals in my province, in the Northwest province, that are very exclusive, and yet they are supported. I think we should look at the inclusivity of all these festivals. It cannot be an exclusive event and then support it. I fully support one of the planning on that. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members, for your engagement as well as your question. I don't know, honorable deputy minister and acting DG, whether the APP is a living document or is casting stone. Because if it is a living document, then I would propose that you look into some of the issues that are being raised, that have been raised all over the years and they've not been taken care of. I'm just trusting the ATM that you will have to re-look into some of the issues and see how we rob each and every people, just move others in preference of others, because as the other members are putting it very correctly, there are issues that were raised about 4 years ago. Mm. and it is not really proper that we are now at the end of the term of this parliament and we are going to push them into the legacy document without them having been attended, at least started or at least planned. If they are planned and we know that at some stage they will be undertaken, at least that gives us hope. The few issues that I want to raise have been largely covered by members. Are the issues of your allocations for diplomacy engagement? I was looking at it. When you engage with the African states, the allocations are very low. But when you engage diplomatically with states outside of Africa, the amount is it triples or it doubles. What is the reason for that? And then the other issue that I wanted to raise, your CFO, your allocation for compensation of employees, I'm not arguing it, but I see this a bit big, I don't know. What is your staff establishment? It's big, it's quite big. It's 6% of the budget, which is appreciated. It's above the norm. It's good, it's very good that your compensation of employees is just 6% of the total budget of the department. But even though, looking at the size of the department, maybe I don't know the numbers that well, to me it does look as though it is quite an amount. I also wanted to remark on this. It's a pity that the official responsible for Umzansi Golden has left. Now, if you've got forms online that people cannot retrieve ordinarily, people out there that do not have the technology, how would you expect them to be able to retrieve the form and write their proposal and put an application? Why is it not simplified? Why do they have to get the form online? Why is it that you don't put your forms in libraries all over for people to be able to access and put their proposals? Because if you use a bit too much of technology, other people cannot get the opportunities that they are looking for. You can put your forms in certain spots like libraries and other places, or art centers, whatever, other places, so that they can be able to access information. The same applies to adverts. When you advertise your posts or opportunities that are arising, if you go a bit too technological, then other people miss the opportunity, even though they have talent. Because we are not at the equal level of being technologically savvy. So I think we must always keep that in mind. I don't know if the members did ask this, or Kapisa did ask this one, about Enyugeni precinct. What is happening regarding that precinct? It's an issue that was raised last year. Isilo, during the State of the Province address, was did not speak well. He actually said that you must go and take the thing there because he wants to use the space, if you don't want to proceed with the development and complete it, because it is an eyesore. We felt very embarrassed as representatives of KZN. Please attend to this and let it reach finality. Complete it. Because I think if you demolish, then you would have lost quite an amount of money. The route that one would propose is that you complete it. You are talking about artists, craftwork, people that are doing handcraft, beautiful handcraft, around Cape Town. There is a a Robben Island just across here. There is a curio shop. It is such a busy curio shop. It is our own people that we incarcerated there. Otatu Mandela, Otatu Sisulu, Otatu Zuma, Nabanye Abaningi, Osmu Ndebele, and many others. All the other that are benefiting from the curio
is other nationalities other than the blacks, which is grossly unfair. Can we look into that issue? DM, devise a quota of supplies that is going to be supplied by black people. I'm not being racist. I'm telling the truth. That is a World Heritage Site. But our people are not benefiting from that World Heritage Site. All other nationalities are benefiting because Tina, us now, are our suppliers at Robben Island. Can that issue also be looked into? The National Orchestra, acting DJ, how is it going to compose? How is it going to be composed? Where is it going to be? Where is going to be the seat of the orchestra? In which province is the seat going to be of this orchestra? And when are you going to fully establish it? And how are we going to access it and all the arrangements? Because I think we've got a very beautiful theater in KZN. Okay, I don't remember. If there is no beautiful theater in KZN, did I put together? Did you not go to KZN? Didn't you see the theater then? So let us look at the best place for the seat of the national. Okay, I just wanted to know where the orchestra is going to sit. All right, the community theatres, is that what you call ascenders? Community theatres? Or it's something different? It's different. Okay, please clarify those for me. Community theatres and ascenders. I did remark about projects not being in the APP and the remarks of the AD about that. Why is it that you execute projects that you didn't plan for? Because this is the meaning that I derive from that. Artists in school, where are they? Which schools are these? We would like to get that report. And what is their salary? What stipend do they draw? Is it a collaborative effort between yourself and the Department of Education, or is it only your own responsibility? I appreciate the arrangements that you've made. The DM of having some of your senior officials sitting in meetings of editors and be the eye of the department. It's going to assist us a great deal, particularly in terms of how money that we cascade to those editors are used and whether the APPs are being followed to the letter. And also the issue, I appreciate the issue that we are the only country in the continent that has got a library for the blind. This is a great achievement. We really do appreciate that. We don't only look at the dark part of things, but we really do appreciate the good work that you're doing. At Potchefstroom, there's a big library that you are building there, next to the Civic Center. It's a big, big, big library, and I was looking at the allocation. It's almost complete now. It's nearly completion. So we do appreciate when you do a good work for the benefit of the communities. And lastly, I'm happy again that we have actually written to the president about the issue of the artist. Mm. I happen to be a mother of one of the artists. Mm. And that is why I've got this interest and affinity for art. They are heavily exploited. And I tell you, when the investigation is done, the president is going to discover that they are badly exploited. Piracy. They produce a CD, they sing beautifully. Whether it's individuals or groups, there is piracy. They don't get anything out of it, out of their own artwork.
So those are the issues that are concerns, and I want to believe that the country collectively, we are going to be able to deal with those issues. Thank you very much. Can you can then respond? Yes.
What is it that you were doing since you were employed in the department?
Mm. You understand? You take, you just take what is given to yourself. Why I'm saying this is fair, I'm actually excited that you re-ask those questions that you asked previously. Mm. So that next time when we come here, we come with responses.
Mm.
You understand? We can't that each and every time we come to a select committee or a portfolio committee, we are asked questions and then we agree that we are going to pay attention to this and that. And then when we come back, we come up with something new. You understand? And the things that has been asked, then we didn't attend to those. Now, this the reason why I'm raising this is that most of the things that have been raised there are new to me. But I must say that because I'm here with the top management, then we start working on those things so that next time we come here, even before we come here, we send you the report that with regard to question so-and-so, this is what is happening. I think that will then better some of the things there. Let me also talk about the jazz festival. You know, Jemina Wamadot. The jazz festival, you know, it was for the first time that I enter arts and culture suit now that I'm the deputy minister. I've been a member of parliament for ages, but I've never entered that suit until I became the deputy in that environment. Because I never had an opportunity of getting a ticket. I didn't even know who to finyana njani. But I was fortunate because I had many entities who were accounting to us as the police. Your Vodacom, then we managed to get Vodacom, you know. So many of even the service providers that we had, they gave us tickets and then we had an access to that. The problem that we experienced lately, Chair, with regard to EJS festivals, is the fact that not only members of parliament, even members outside parliament, they would get tickets for the jazz. They will never come to the jazz.
Mm-hmm.
They will send abantu anabayungwe with no respect,
mm-hmm.
you understand, whatsoever. And you are there as members of parliament, you are there as chairpersons, you are there as ministers. And by an and then you ask yourself, but we did not give a ticket to this child.
Mm.
Just to find out that that child is Deputy Minister Sokyu's child. Because I did not use that ticket, I gave it to my child. You understand? That's one problem that we have, not only for the Cape Town, even your Makufe, your the Eastern Cape one, Buyelekaya, all those, we had that problem. I mean, that's my second year, it was my first year with all these festivals. But those are some of the things that I observed. And then I think the department, for instance, it was the CBs, I don't know, what do you call it?
Pilot,
yeah. The issue of asking for IDs and what, it was a pilot. To see how can we correct this, you understand? Because after the festival, we received many emails and letters, people complaining about they even call it Soweto, whereas the others, they call them Essential. You understand? Because they know that each Jack and Jill will go to that suit. You understand? So those were some of the things that we thought is going to work for us. But unfortunately, it's obvious that it did not work. You understand? Yeah. And then what then we have decided after complaints, like the complaint that you brought out attention here, we said that what we are going to do, members of parliament, members of the select committee, ourselves, that is the ministers, deputy ministers, ticket will be from the minister's office, the ministry in other words.
Mm.
The minister will have the list, because we can't just assume that each and everyone wants to go to the jazz festival.
Mm.
You make a request. That means I'm going to jazz with my partner, you understand?
Mm.
And secondly, it's not possible that each and every year we can give the same people the same number, because we are sharing with the province. It's not our 100% responsibility. The province has got a certain number, we have a certain number.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm not saying that the way members feel that they were treated, it was correct. It was not correct. I think because of this new pilot, Jemina was under stress, this and this and this and that, because she's a very good girl. Understand? Yeah. I think she was really under stress because of this project of what it seems as if it did not work. But I promise now, Chairperson, from now onwards, members of parliament who want to go to Jazz Festival, let them just submit their name to the chairperson.
if you are with your partner, and if you're not coming, you're bringing your daughter, tell us ukuthi ndizisa unozipho, ID number kanozisisa, one is going to determine ukuthi unozipho ngumntana okanye umntu omdala. You understand? If we have an ID number, we said 2005, we know that usiphathele iingane zosihlupha la. You understand? So those are some of the things that are going to do in future to avoid this tension here, Jazz Festival. And we are going to treat both houses the same. I was not even aware that the SOP was treated in any way. I really apologize on behalf of the department. And then, Chair, to get into some of the issues that were raised of members of Parliament, I'm happy that you raised the most issues that I raised with the department before we come to this meeting. Maybe it's because of the experience of being a member of Parliament. I know what is it that Parliament needs, yeah. For instance, when it comes to the issue of MGE, although Engeko Umabaso, I had a meeting with Umabaso because I had a very serious concern about the access of this MGE. I wasn't even aware, honorable member, that it is in a certain province and it's not in a certain province. As I'm saying, that some of the things I'm still learning.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm taking note of what you said. And then I said, the problem that we have here is information, in marketing. How do we take the information to the people out there, especially the rural communities? And then I came up with a few suggestions at PMDG. I even said to him that in the department we have an element that deals with the communication. How about the Sebenzisane department, we have community radios. And most of those community radios are there with rural communities. But if you tell office in the house, you are gone, unless you go out and find out. Could there are community radios. And I said, maybe that's one of the things. But you came up with very good suggestion. Even your parliamentary offices, you understand? Yeah? Take politics, put them aside, you understand? And make sure that people access this fund, the right people actually. Because there are people who are accessing this, because people who come rural communities, by data we compute, but it's only online, you understand? But then it's us who are supposed to make sure that we go to those people in a way of communication. And I'm happy that Mr. Mabaso understood exactly what I meant. And then we agreed that we are going to try that exercise as what we tried with the festival. And Sikuti, I do recommend that, but we are going to do that. And another issue, Chair, that was raised here was the issue I'm happy that you raised in the picture, Hector Peterson. I was supposed to go to the funeral of Usem Mzima last week if it was not postponed for this coming weekend, because the minister was not available, as is not even available now. And I requested my office, picture? What is it that we are owing him, or what is happening there? You know, sir? And they all laughed at me. They said, I was going to see him, so it was impossible. Did know? I mean, when you have such a person who has passed on, the first thing that you need to do, what is it that we did as a person to this icon? I mean, as a department or as a government, to Uba Unzima. And we have that information so that if it happens that on Saturday, because I will be attending to that funeral on behalf of the minister, if it happens then we get asked those questions, that one is in a position to respond to those questions. Ugu Jazz Festival funding, and let me put it together with the Indoni, is KKNK. Did you say so, Mr. Honorable Member? Yeah. And Atluof and all those things. I will give it to the people who do this, because other names are new to me. I've never heard of them. Maybe they'll have to come up with the process. What is the process towards requesting funding, you know, for the festival? Because I also know of other festivals that I would go and say, I am doing it, and so what, and so what? You are not funding us, so what? You understand? So that's why I'm saying that we really need to give information to Babunzima. What is it that they need to do in order for them to be able to perform e-funding? CFO will respond to the issue of office accommodation versus employee compensation. We'll have, and also the issue of subsidy versus capital transfer. We'll have to respond to that. The issue of sign language.
That was raised by Comrade Kaya. Honourable Member, I'm sorry, man, you know this thing of coming from this NGO, Yasuk. So I happen to have been a part of archive awareness campaign 2 weeks ago, or the beginning of the month, the 7th of May. Yeah, the 7th of May up to the 11th of May. I was part of that. Luckily, it happened in the Free State province. And we had people from the Blind Society who were part of that, where then they raised this issue that you have just raised. And also we had people from the sign language sector. They raised these issues and say that they even recognized me, that I was once in a summit with them, in a women's summit. That time it was the former minister, Kingwana, in that year, where then they were saying that in the police stations, they are struggling with regard to sign languages. And I asked them, what are they getting at night clinic in the hospital? And they said, no, like a home affairs, they said, no. And then I said, a post office, I said, no. I said, then it means it's not a departmental problem, it's a governmental problem that we need to attend to. Hence, I'm repeating this, but we must lead as a department of Undima. We must initiate that and make sure that we can't, see, after 30 years, manji, we can't have this community as I share in Asemba, because there were some programs that were started then by the Minister of Women, Children and People with Disability then, but as I'm saying, that when you take over, you are not obliged to take what this other person was doing. You can start your own thing. It might happen that somehow it was not taken forward. And then you also respond on the issue of criteria used when allocating funds to provinces, CFO. And the issue of IPANSA, Kilebokhe, you are responsible. You just also respond to that. The names of the schools, I know that I've spoken about that. The libraries, the last MIMEC that we had, it was here in Cape Town, it's a month ago, last month. The issue of the libraries was on the agenda. Uguti, we had a problem, the problem that I've just raised now, of us transferring monies to provinces for building of the libraries, but we don't get the product that we are expecting. And then the MECs are aware of that, and they're working on that, and then what then made me laugh that day, look, it's at the end of the day, it's about us, when is the deputy minister, and then people are saying that we built these libraries, after building them, Mafuleki Zofulwane is our premier. So the deputy minister, if I've built a library, I want you to open it as an MEC. Unfortunately, don't account to me, account to the premier. If she or he decides to open it, it's their own, yeah. But at least now there is something that we are working with them, with the MECs with regard to that, yeah. And then the role of the municipality versus the provincial government on the issue of libraries, I think the department will have to respond on that. Honorable Dlamini, issues that you have raised, the issues of Zamora Machel Monument, Khersi Bande, and Sen Community Monument here in the Western Cape, Enyokeni, the orchestra, DDG Ndima will have to respond to that. And lastly, the issue of, go back to the Winnie Mandela, there is a steering committee that has been established early this year, if not late last year. This steering committee is being chaired by our DG Mkhize, where DDG Ndima is part of, because it falls under his branch, the whole thing of the heritage. In this committee, DAC is the lead department. We have sports, arts and culture and education from the provinces. We have tourism. We have small business. And we have human settlements. And then we have human settlements. And then Mama Winnie wrote to us last year when we were establishing this committee,
and then giving an authority to Dr. Zinhle Dlamini Mandela to represent the family in the steering committee. Because her condition then was not very well now, yeah, and then she told us that Zinhle is the one who knows exactly what is it that Mama wants or what Mama would like to see happening in Brandfort. That committee, as I'm talking to you, it is sitting. I think it said about 3 weeks ago. But one thing that you must also understand, members, it's not an easy one because of the fact that if a man is in Ulmus, you understand? And each and every individual would like you to give something. It was even difficult for us to say when they were talking about the issue of estate, isn't it? Actually, they were saying that is it property rights? What is it that we said, you know, the Mama Beetle, that car that she was using, a Brandfort, and the other things. When they were saying that they needed us to secure that, they needed us to secure that while then we are busy with the building of the monuments. But then what we raised as advised by our legal people is the fact that we don't know who the estate is labani. We don't know, because if you say you secure monies are involved, that state money that you must use to secure that, you understand? Now, if it happens that the estate, my sister, it says that this business belongs to Ms. Zwane, and Ms. Zwane says, no, Lena doesn't get any money, the Mandela Museum is not going there. But that time we have given you money and said that we are taking this over. And then we said, no, we can't give any money for those properties of Skamama until such time she has a good. What does the estate say? And then we'll take it from there. But there is a lot of work. As I'm saying, that in this team we have legal people, we have different skills of people that are sitting in this committee. So I'm sure that the time frame that you've set for ourselves, that is, will be finished by the end of March next year, 2019. We are expecting to finish. If it happens that Ukuthi Bambeke, I'm sure there will be some legalities that will make us not finishing that. And I heard you have taken note of the crafters, that is the artist, and also the issue here, Robben Island. I've decided that I'm not going to talk anything about Robben Island, but it'll shock something that I'm going to tell you outside the meeting about Robben Island. And also the issue of the suppliers, you know. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We can't put where we are seated now, even our own people. What I mean our own, I mean so that the other group, ethnical group, which is the blacks, are not benefiting from whatever. So, DDDG, CFO, Chief Director, you are going to respond to most questions that have been raised here by members of Parliament, especially with regard to those art festivals. I think, thank you very much. I will visit Ndabangulu and have a look what is happening there, because I'm supposed to meet Abakomakoma now in June. I think when I go to the Eastern Cape, I will make a turn at Ndabangulu. Thank you very much. Thanks, Chair.
I seek the guidance. Thank you, GM. Thank you very much for the responses and the commitment that you've made. I seek the guidance of the committee. It's up. It's after one.
Two minutes.
Yeah. It's after one. Please be very brief and to the point. 2 minutes, because my lip are born. With other committees, are very fortunate here. And with other committees, they show you a watch. What is one? So with this one, they want to stay here and get them. One issue.
I'm contributing to what you are saying, Chair. With I need the attention, Chair. With our issues, Chair, is an action, not words. With the issues that I've raised, I don't want answers. I want action. Just for good one thing, ever since in Osempumalanga, there was an outstanding museum. I don't know what the problem is, building it or not, if they can liaise. It was not built. I was part of the project when I was still in the province. The house has been built by the former premier, who is the deputy president now, which he did not. He collapsed when the house was officially opened. But it is an outstanding museum. But with my issues, I only make the action.
Deputy Minister, you actually gave me an indication that you may have to speak after this end. And for the land some issues, I would move to that.
Yeah, that's 2 minutes. My
okay. Okay. You give 2 minutes for each of the officials, allocate them. Mr.
Can I just say one thing? Because I think here, most of the things here are things that have to do with acting DDG Mabaso.
Okay.
And just make, especially those that were asked by yourself, member there, that can I ask this to stay over, then we'll send them in a written form. Because all this Indoni, KKK, Atuvano, and everything, then, and any other thing that has to do with us, then we can, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try and compress this as much as I can, but maybe let me start by talking about the modular library. It's not like when we do modular libraries, they are only done in the one area. They are a transient intervention. It's not like you are building for forever. You do that if you are still planning for a brick and mortar library, but whilst you are still planning, at least there must be something that the community can actually do. Issues of provincialization, they are in a process, because currently we have got a conditional grant. Now, the issue is, what are you going to do once the conditional grant is gone? So the provinces are beginning now to look at what will it take for them to take full responsibility of the function. So that's the process that is already taking place on that. But also to say that in terms of libraries as well, the money that is allocated to provinces is for infrastructure, is for buying library material, is for ICT, is for the employment of staff. But, Deputy Minister, I think it's one of those things that we'll have to take to TIC. I think that all the matters that have been raised by the honourable members need to be discussed at the level of TIC and MINMEC, so that we are able to, in an integrated manner, work together in terms of doing the response and actioning some of the things that need to be actioned. We can also provide information in terms of the flag in every school, but to indicate to a person that with flag in every school, ultimately we would like that particular function, the actual installation, to be done by the Department of Basic Education. So I would like to stop there for now, because I think those are the issues that I thought that, so that I can allow my colleagues.
Honorable chair members, I just want to just respond to the planning unit. The planning unit falls under my branch, so it is under APDG. So currently we are capacitating that unit. We will be appointing director very soon. But also we know the issue of M&E, because as the department, we need to follow the money of the department and just also to look at the impact of our programs, you know, to those impact studies, evaluation studies. So we would be capacitating the units when the funds become available to get more people on board. So that it's not just about reporting, but we do real research, evaluation studies. And then in terms of the international relations, I think BRICS is the one who pays us like at night that's receiving money, a lot of budget, but it is us hosting BRICS because we are the chair of BRICS this year. So the 17 million is towards the film festival that we will be hosting, and this is an international film festival in Durban from the 22nd of July until the 29th. So it's a week-long festival. Yes, so it's a BRICS film festival. So we will then extend the invitations to them. But the others, I think, honorable members, you will see that we are beginning to do a lot of work in the continent, because previously work was done in France, UK and so forth, but now we are working with other countries within the continent to make sure that we foster those relationships. And then the last issue I think that's coming from us is the issue of PESAP. The temporary employees are those that are doing projects. They would be appointed to do a specific project, especially in provinces. And then once the project is done, the people, you know, they would appoint people on the temporary basis. But we can also further give input to say how many and which projects have been done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to respond to Honourable Member regarding the Mr. Ndima is acting DG. He is acting for this week only. In fact, we do have. Mr. Ndima is only for this week. And we have appointed the new DG from September 2017. We do have a new DG, Mr. Kize. And Mr. Mavaso is acting DDG. He's only been acting for, I think, for 2 months. We've had Ulisa Kombrink, who also acted after Monica left. We have tried to fill the position, though, of the DDG. And we sat in interviews with the ministers, and we could not fill the position. There was no suitable candidate.
Yeah.
So we're going back to the drawing board. Now, the other one is just about the recruitment that you've also asked. The position where we advertised them in April, and most of them closed, you know, in April, I think. And we've got close to 3,000 applications just for those positions. Excluding the interns, we've got 3,800 applications that we are going through at this moment. There's only few that we've concluded with the shortlisting, which are now with the branches. They need to then go further and shortlist, and then we'll then do the interviews. But we're hoping that we should, you know, finish the processes by the end of June. But, you know, and people starting, you know, in July. I think it's going to take us a bit, and HR people are also working overtime during weekends to really try and do this, the shortlisting. Thank you. Okay, so, and with regards to the question regarding the compensation budget, I just wanted to say, not only the salaries, compensation budget has got the cost of living increases in there, have got salary, the pay progressions in there, so it has got the acting allowances, the role-playing allowances, they are in the 253 million that you see. It has got all those elements under the compensation budget. So you find that in there, there's only a portion that goes into salaries, but the rest is allowances, is the increases that must be factored in. Like now, we need to make sure that we factor in the increases that are being negotiated.
Honourable members, for me it's just one point, that Honourable Dlamini Khulumeka Buhlungu ushaye kumenhlizweni, and I think she's made me acknowledge that there is a flaw in our planning process as a government, that we engage the committees of parliament at the tail end of the planning process.
Absolutely.
And that is where we actually then get to miss some of the issues that are actually raised in these committees. So I think we have to go back to our original arrangements, where during the first planning session, we invite the committees of parliament to our planning session, so that all these issues, because the number of conflicting sort of priorities that are raised during that planning session from provinces and other stakeholders, but then if we bring you also along, I think then we will be able to collectively prioritize as to what projects to pursue in a particular financial year. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The first issue I'd like to tackle is the issue of the accommodation budget. Basis compensation. She touched on the other part. The accommodation budget in the department is also including the rental that we are paying for our entity. That is why you see it is such a huge amount. We are paying rental on behalf of our public entity. So that is why our accommodation budget, it might seem very large, but we are paying for other entities that are in our stable. And furthermore, there was a question raised on entities, why we have got the subsidy and the TAPE. The subsidy is for your annual operational expenditure is voted as such. And then with capital expenditure allocation, remember capital allocation is per a project plan. So in 1 year when it is start, it can be very low, and when the planning is being implemented, the budget for that project will be very high, and when it go to conclusion, that budget for that year, it will go down. So it will never be equal for every 3 years or in that particular period. It always cyclical until the allocation the project is completed. One other issue raised here is actually to be in terms of the allocation for libraries. You can see that the allocation for library grant is always equivalent. But however, as library grant is being monitored on regular basis, when other provinces are not spending, when reductions of budget are made on provinces that are unable to spend their allocation in terms of, and provinces that are spending better, the allocation goes to them so that they can conclude their program. However, I want to also to hasten and mention this point in terms of MG allocation, even if Mr. Mawas is not here, to say in terms of allocation, there is a 4 million that is allocated to each and every province so that they can select their own flagship project with the utilization of that particular 4 million. So some provinces prefer us to transfer the money to them, and they don't enlist the flagship that will be done in that particular year. Hence, it might seem that, other provinces does not get funding. But it's just because they will be appointing or they will be implementing those particular flagship projects themselves. So we will transfer the money to them to carry out this particular thing. But all provinces are given an equal amount of 4 million to roll out their project. Thank you, Chair.
I think it was important to explain that some of the provinces actually prefer that the money be given to them, because you might just look at nationally only to find that the money is with the province. So those are the issues that we need to verify with our province, because we don't have a record of which province takes the money, which province is catered for by nationally. Maybe it would assist for us to know so that we can be able to make a follow up. No, thank you very much. I think we've come to the end of the engagement. I want to believe that the engagement was fruitful and paid by the month. Continue to do the good part that you're doing and go to effect some changes, adjustments to take care of the issues that you are raising, that you think the department, within the limitations of the budget that you have, we can be able to at least to begin to plan, and then they are going to culminate in the subsequent MCSS. We want to say thank you. The minister has expressed a desire to meet the committee outside of this committee meeting just to deliberate over issues. Please convey our apologies. We have not really been able to get time to do that, because of our very tight schedule. But he did really express that he would love to have further engagement with the committee, because we are coming up with very valid contribution that requires much more time than the one allocated for committee work. So with those you have, thank you very much. Always had a very good way to relationship with you. This is the last APP. We hope for the best. You might see us, you might not.
We might be here, we might not be here.
It has got its own way of removing and replacing.
Yeah.
You might not see us for purposes of planning, but you are going to meet for purposes of the annual report. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Honorable Chairperson, no, I think the meeting is adjourned, but I just wanted us to sort out the issue of tomorrow's meeting. At 10 o'clock, which is closing of the caucus, and then other meetings as well. But if the meeting is